Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound away.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Well, you heard it. You are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio.
Back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle. So for those of you that are not familiar, my name is Kevin Richter.
And this is Michael Heidemann.
And we are collectively known here at the station as Sound Sessions. Sound Sessions is typically a music-based podcast and show, correct?
Yes. It's all things music here at the station. You know, long-form interviews with your favorite artists, bands, groups, anything basically.
Covering the festivals and then some. So, but, you know, every once in a while we get to jump on live here. On the air, and we are ever so grateful for it because we have a lot of fun with it.
So grateful. We're in for Brian Noonan tonight, the great Brian Noonan, and we actually get to see the sunlight tonight.
Yeah, so normally when we're doing these fill-ins, it's like 2 to 5 a.m., and it's nice to see smiling faces and sunglasses. This is so cool.
I know. We got some waving fans here. Good to see everybody. It's a beautiful, beautiful day in Chicago. We have everybody out. Street performers are at an all-time high today. So.
I saw a singing, dancing, oh, he's still out there, a singing, dancing gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
And his mouth moves and everything. I don't even know how he does that.
Man, it's taken to a new level. Forget that guitar and everything.
Right?
Get the singing gorilla.
So yeah, a little more about us, shall we? For those, again, that don't know, I am the producer for the midday show here on WGN Radio, the Bill and Wendy show. Mm-hmm. So I am also known as Producer Kevin and Michael.
Yes, and I am the producer for Late Night with Patty Vasquez from 11 till 2 a.m. Each day, Monday through Friday. And I'm known as Producer Michael.
That's right. And seems like this always happens. We always have Roger up in the newsroom with
I'm
us,
so
which we
that.
Love.
Gentlemen, good to be with you once again.
That's right. Absolutely. We're so excited. So.
I'm stoked. We got Joey Gelman in the booth, our producer booth. What's going on, Joey?
Hello, everyone. This is going to be fun.
Look, we have a party going on right now.
Isn't this like a mini Dave Plyer reunion?
It kind of, yeah, absolutely is. So, yeah, Dave Plyer, who normally hosts, Saturdays
mm-hmm.
into Sundays, yeah, overnights, right. 2 to 5. Mm-hmm. I was his producer. You were his producer. Joey, are you his producer?
I'm Dean's now. I just switched.
Okay, see, that's...
But he was for a while.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm his news guy.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Damn. So it's all in the family here.
And you used to be Dean's producer, and I've done a few Dean shows as well. So, man.
We're in good company.
And I taught at the Dean's High School.
There we go. And it comes full circle. Way to go, Roger.
Huge fan of Dean's Ice Cream, too.
Yes, right.
Shout out to Huntley, Illinois. Kevin, what do we got on the show today?
So, yeah, as we were saying in Crosstalk with Adam and Carm, we've got some fun stuff coming up. So, I guess first and foremost, well, after the break, I'm really mm-hmm. excited about this. We did this with Dave Plyer live mm-hmm. a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
We're going to call Mr. Noonan.
That's a great
idea. We're
going
to give him a call. So we're filling in for Brian Noonan, who's normally here in this slot. We're going to call him up after the break coming up here, and we're going to find out what's going on, what he's doing on his day off.
Yeah, it's his day off. Does he know that we're going to be calling? I mean, is this a good idea?
I didn't run it by him, but I have his number.
I think that'd be okay. I think he'd be cool with that.
We hope so.
Yeah, Brian's a good guy.
So we're going to talk to Brian, maybe get, you know, what he has coming up. I think he's filling in for Roe tomorrow, I want to say.
That's right, yes.
So we'll get some info from him.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:30, we're going to be talking to a Trib columnist. Her name is Shelby. I can't pronounce her last name yet, unfortunately. I want to do it justice.
I want to, maybe not say it until she
gets
here.
Yeah, until I get the pronunciation. But anyway, in my mind, Memorial Day weekend kind of kicks off the summer street festival season here in Chicago.
Absolutely.
And there are, probably 150, 200 different, you know, little fests to pick from.
At least just on Michigan Avenue.
Right, exactly. So we're going to talk to her about all these great festivals coming up in Chicago and Chicagoland. And at 7 o'clock...
Oh, we also got Tom Barnes coming on, too.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, yeah.
So from WGN-TV. He does all the music lounge stuff there. So it's going to be a great, great round table of just music experts for this festival season coming up.
It's going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So then at 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking to your guy, Ronnie Schneider. So can you tell me a little more about him?
My man, Ronnie, he is the inside scoop on all things Rolling Stones and Beatles. He was known. He put out a few documentaries. The documentary Out of Our Heads, Rolling Stones and Beatles. That's the book that he wrote. He also wrote produced this 1970 documentary, Give Me Shelter, which I don't know if you've ever seen. It's pretty darn good. So he's going to be coming on talking about, you know, what's the inside scoop behind these legendary bands.
And pretty
we actually,
cool.
We actually wanted to, you know, just voice it out to our listeners real quick. We want to know who would win. We're putting kind of a battle royale.
Like a popularity contest?
Popularity kinda. Contest. So call, text in 312-981-7200. Who do you think is the best band as far as the music scene?
British rock, I guess.
British rock, Rolling Stones, or The Beatles. And that's going to be happening at 7 o'clock.
And then we're going to be speaking with Chicago's own Andrew Santino, who's kind of blowing up in the comedy world. He's got a comedy special coming up, I believe June 2nd, this coming Friday. So he was filmed here at the Vic in Chicago. It's going to be a really funny guy, so we're looking forward to talking to him. And then we're going to talk celebrity run-ins. Mm-hmm. We're going to open up the music vault.
Oh, I missed the music vault.
All sorts of fun coming up. And real quick, but like so you gave out the number, 312-981-7200. We love to hear from you guys. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. That's both the call and text line. You can also tweet at us. We are at SoundSeshPod on Twitter. If you go to iTunes.com/SoundSessions, that's where you can find all of our old content. Mm-hmm. Sound Sessions on Facebook. We're on Instagram, Sound Sessions WGN. And if we'd love to hear from you through email, just soundsessionspod@gmail.com.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's going to be a great show. We have a lot of fun. We have a great audience outside. And in the studio, we have just a quick mention my brother, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
And my cousin, Jay, are here with us. Thanks for joining us,
guys. I got to say, Jay is 12 years old, interested in the broadcast world, and I asked him, oh, he's got a podcast. And I said, what's your podcast about? Oh, you know, current events, technology, all these other things. Like, when I was 12, I was playing video games and, like, doing wrestler action figures, you know? Like, I'm so impressed by you, bud.
Yeah, big things happening from both of you guys. It's very, very cool. And Adam, my brother, who I've mentioned on the show before, works at the Cubs. He's got his new fancy Chicago Cubs World Series ring on. Oh, man, it's good positive vibes here at WGN.
Right. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break so we can come back and talk to our buddy Brian Noonan. You are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN. All right, welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. You know, a thing that I guess we've only really done it once before, but we like to, when we fill in for these shows, is we like to talk to the host that we're filling in for, right?
It seems only fair, you know, give them a call. I mean, we're very thankful that we get to, you know, be in these spots and behind the mic. So, you know, we gave Dave Plyer a call last time.
And that was in the middle of the night, so.
Yeah, so maybe we should give Brian a call.
I think we should. I mean, maybe he's having a beer. Maybe. Right? So let's give him
Seems
a call.
About that time.
Let's give him a call right now and see if he picks up, and we'll have a quick chat here with Brian Noonan. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, let's give him a call. Do you got his number?
Yep, let's do it right here.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Brian. It's Kevin and Michael over here at WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm off, fellas. What? Isn't the sound explosion or whatever you call the show?
Sound sessions. But yes.
Yeah.
I got the first word right. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Better than most people, to be honest. We wanted to call and say.
I only listen to lute music. I don't have time for all the progressive bands that you guys are into. I'm sitting here in the yard. With a couple beers, I got a lute player over here, and it's a beautiful Sunday, and now I got to talk to you two.
Well, yeah, we just thought, you know, since we're filling in for you, we wanted to touch base with you. We thought it might be a little fun. I mean, it's not like we woke you up or anything, I would assume.
No. Listen, I'm wide awake. It's early evening. I don't go to bed till way late, like 10:30. So this is the perfect hour for me.
Excellent, excellent. So yeah, we wanted to just kind of touch base to see what's coming up in your world. I know you have a loyal fan base. So with your listeners listening to us, let's see what's coming up in your world.
Listen, if you haven't already alienated them with some world funk jazz hybrid talk that you're doing, guys with playing the pan flute and some electronica, I don't know what you guys are into. You seem to be into a lot of stuff. It quite frankly frightens me. I'm not going to lie to you. I wish I could say that I was more enlightened musically, but I am not. But, you know, listen, I took tonight off. I'm resting up because tomorrow I'm in for row at 3 o'clock, so that'll be fun. Because it's a holiday, so of course I'll work. And then Tony and Tina's is still going on, and people can go to TonyLovesTina.com to get their tickets and come see that show. Here's a, all right, I'll give the Sound Session guys an exclusive.
All right.
Never before mentioned, not even on my own program. I'm taking a little break from Tony and Tina in July and August. So if you want to come see the show with me in it, come in June, May or June. Well, May's over tomorrow.
Yeah.
Come in June.
So be sure to pick up your tickets in June. Yeah, that show is awesome. I can't believe it's still going on. This is fantastic.
Quite frankly, I can't either. But no, it is. Wow, I just threw the entire production under the bus. That's what a few beers will do to you. Here's a tip from a veteran broadcaster. And thank you for the respect of calling and checking in on the big broadcast. I appreciate that.
Of course.
But don't let the alcohol run your mouth. So you just get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, I think we've both learned that once or twice in our lives. So for those that are not quite familiar, so who is it that you're playing in Tony, the production of Tony and Tina?
I play Vinnie Black, the owner of Vinnie Black's Coliseum, where the reception is held. I kind of host the entire reception. Vinnie fancies himself a stand-up comic, so there's an old-school stand-up set in the middle of the reception. There's some costume changes. It's a very, very integral part. I've been studying for years to become the thespian of this guy.
I can believe it. And like you said, you have one more month to go before we can, before you're done with it for a temporary time, I guess?
Just for the summer. I'm going on tour with Fish. You might want to touring with Fish because I've been taking Bo Ron lessons, so I'm going to be their percussionist.
Wow.
In July and August.
You're very worldly.
Because I also don't want to shower for 2 months, so I figured that was the best place for me to go and not be not stand out too much. My aroma will just kind of blend in.
That's one way to do it. That's one to do. We're probably going to get you on the show.
Have I offended the two Fish fans that are talking to me?
I'm not a Fish fan.
Is an issue?
I'm not really a Fish fan. They're fine.
I don't like anything that unstructured. Can I be honest? Can we talk music for a little bit?
Yeah, well, let's do that.
Damn band mentality. I'm not a fan of it.
Okay.
Give me a nice hook. Give me a chorus. Give me a nice, this song, you can stretch it 7 minutes maybe at the tops, but don't go 20 minutes. That just means you're just babbling musically. You
right.
have nowhere to go. You're just rambling on and on. Give me a beginning, a middle, and end.
I feel that. I imagine the band meetings would be something like, hey, what do you guys want to do? What song? I guess we could play this one and then just kind of see where it goes. And then
that's it, right?
15 minutes later.
And nobody has the guts to say, all right, that's enough. We got to pull the plug on this. Because everybody just wants, they don't want to harsh anybody's mellow. You just want to chill. We're artists, man. We're creating. Oh, you're droning on. Stop it.
and I'm glad you brought up music, actually. And a thread that we have in a lot of our podcasts and a lot of our shows is we like to ask our guests, one, something that maybe you have been listening to, and two, something you've been listening to but maybe you're not proud of, like a guilty pleasure of some sort. So what can you say about that?
I'll be honest. There's a part of me that really is envious of you guys and all the new music because I still listen to, classic rock stations. I've been listening to a lot of traditional Irish music now.
Okay.
Because I wasn't joking. I've been taking Bo Ron lessons, that little Celtic drum.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to a lot of that, trying to figure out reels and jigs and stuff like that. But then every once in a while, somebody will, I'll hear something new or, I'm going to New Orleans on Tuesday, and I always love wandering into the clubs. I don't know exactly what I'm listening to some of the time, but I like being exposed to that. And despite my rant against rambling, or, these jam bands, some jazz guys, they go on and on and on. And,
yeah.
I think because I'm in a smoky club, I kind of tolerate it a little more than if I was sitting on a lawn surrounded by a bunch of people bathed in patchouli oil.
So you heard it here, Brian Newman, not a fan of the jam band.
No, listen, it goes all the way back to the Dead. Summer of Love just kept rambling on and on and on. Let's put a stop to it. Summer ends in 3 months, so should the jam bands.
I'm right there with you. I don't quite get it. It doesn't do anything for me, but that's okay. To each their own.
Listen, this is America. Last I checked. Despite what other people are trying to make it into, it is America. You can listen to whatever you want. I don't care. I like being exposed to new stuff. I haven't heard anything lately. That's it. I listen to what I always listen to, and then I'm like, oh, I hear you guys, and I hear about all these bands, and I look at the lineups for the festivals that are coming to town. I don't know anybody.
Sure.
I can't be that old. There's got to be somebody I recognize. Where's Creedence? Don't they come around anymore?
I wish they did.
So this is so far. This is what we're going to see this summer. These are my concerts for the summer. Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Styx and REO. Those are the three that I've bought tickets for already. So that kind of tells you my musical taste.
You know, that's a pretty solid little tour.
Three of the biggest shows for the summer, to be honest.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Is Styx and REO one of the biggest tours of the summer?
In most people's mind.
1978, yes. It definitely would be one of the biggest tours of the summer.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. See, yeah, I don't know what concerts I'm even going to be checking out, but now that I know that Styx and REO are going to be here, this is awesome. Maybe get to interview.
Let me tell you this before, because I know as soon as we hang up, you guys are going to mock me for my REO.
That's not true. Not true at all.
I saw them open. Listen, this is going to make you jealous. I saw them last summer open for Def Leppard. That's right. You heard me. Def Leppard and REO Speedwagon, a double bill. Out at, I don't know what they call it now, the Tweeter Center? It used to be, it was the World, I don't know what it's called. But anyway, we're out there, and I've been an REO fan. There's my guilty pleasure. I've been an REO fan forever.
Fair enough.
And they put on an unbelievable show, because it was condensed since they were opening, so it was, 45 minutes of just their most rockin' biggest hits. It was great.
Just the hits.
And I'm not going to apologize for it to you two hipsters. You sit there with your flannel shirts, and I'm not going to apologize
for
walking to REO Speedwagon.
No, you shouldn't apologize.
The changes if anything comes along that makes me want to roll with it.
Well, there you have it, a look into the musical mind of a Brian Noonan.
Yes, so inquisitive, so worldly.
The quagmire that is Brian Noonan.
well, Brian, we just, like I said earlier, we love you, we love working with you, mm-hmm. and, we appreciate you giving us this opportunity to take the reins from you for a night. So we just wanted to check in with you and see how you're hanging tonight.
The feeling is mutual. Well, I'm hanging to the left, as always. But the feeling is mutual. I admire you guys. I always love working with you when you were on the other side of the glass. Now I'm happy to, I'm happy that you're on the mic side of the glass. So congratulations on Sound Sessions.
Thank you.
And thanks for giving me the night off, because I work so hard. I just need to do nothing. I'm spent, quite frankly. And I'll talk to everybody tomorrow afternoon, and it's the holidays. Maybe we do a 4-hour REO Speedwagon retrospective.
Oh, now we're talking.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Now we've got some plans. Right now, people are putting on their calendar, no WGN on Monday. Except Kevin Cronin. He cannot wait.
He's going to be listening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Pants from the High Infidelity Tour, and he's ready to go.
Right on. Well, Brian, thank you so much. It was great to hear from you, and we won't keep you too much longer. So thank you again for joining us here on Sound Sessions, on filling in for Brian Noonan. And we'll talk to you very soon.
All right, Kevin and Michael, or do you say Michael and Kevin? I don't know.
Either
I don't want to mess up the Martin and Lewis vibe you got going over there. Have a good rest of the night, fellas. Thanks for taking over for me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
That was really, really great.
I love that guy.
He's fantastic. One of my favorite hosts, and it's an all-around good guy.
I'm starting to notice a trend now that we've done this a couple times now that maybe they don't like being called on their off time.
You think so?
I don't know. I think we should still keep doing it.
I mean,
it's always a lot of fun when we talk to these guys. So
exactly. And who'd have thought that he'd be, so into music and the way that he he's in it and he's playing instruments now and everything.
A true look into the musical mind of Brian Noonan.
He's the best. He's
the best. But we have plenty more in store here. We have a break coming up, so let's hit that break. We'll come back with news and plenty more of Sound Sessions in store here on WGN Radio. Welcome back to WGN Radio. This is Sound Sessions. I am Kevin.
And what's up? This is Mike.
So, Mike, as I was saying earlier before we took the break and all that, in my mind, the Chicago summer festival season really kind of kicks off Memorial Day weekend, and here we are, right?
Absolutely, and it couldn't be a more gorgeous day to start this festival season.
And, I think that's the festivals, the street fests and all, is kind of what makes, or one of the elements that makes Chicago, or summer in Chicago, so special.
Absolutely.
Because there's always something going on. Every weekend, there's something cool you can go check out.
Mm-hmm. The city is a buzz. Like, there's no other place to be in the entire world than in Chicago during the summer, I feel like. We finally get our nice days. so perfect.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, we suffer for 6 months out of the year, and then we live for 4 months or so, mm-hmm. something like that. So I was kind of perusing Red Eye, and Red Eye went ahead and put together a collective list of all these great street fests that are happening throughout the city. And we have Red Eye reporter Shelby Bostet.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, cool. Well, she's in studio with us to I know she helped put this together. And we also have WGN morning producer, around town producer. What else we got, Tom?
Social media producer.
Social media producer. We have Tom Barnes in studio here with us. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do we even begin with this? I mean, I guess we could start with things that can still be attended this weekend, maybe?
Or
you,
yes.
I know you said you had some, Red Eye picks.
Yeah. So we went through, there's, almost 140 festivals this summer. But we went through and we kind of chose some of our favorites. But to start out, so Memorial Day weekend is kind of, the kickoff of, fest season in Chicago summer. So still going on today, there's the Greek and Mediterranean Wine Fest until, 10 p.m. tonight.
Ooh.
Yes, and that's new this year. It's in Greektown.
Greektown, okay.
Yes, and it's $40 for your admission, and you get 15 1.5-ounce samples of different, Greek wines.
All right. So. I think the math works out on that. That's fair.
Should.
Let's go.
After this, that'd be great.
Yeah. And then also until 10 p.m. tonight is the Belmont Sheffield Music Fest.
I saw that one. That's the one I drove past. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what does that entail? It's I'm assuming, drinks and music like everyone does?
Yes. It's just a good kickoff summer fest. There's a lot of local bands, local cover bands, lots of food, drinks, just anything you could want in your first fest of the summer.
Man, and that thing is always just a bustle. I remember trying to take the L down to that festival when I was going to school and everything.
It's
and everyone always loves the Belmont festival, so that's great. What else we got on the docket?
Well, I'm seeing here a Red Eye pick, which happened this morning in WGN radio. I'm not sure if the TV as well participated, but the Bike the Drive event.
Bike the Drive, yeah.
Which is a pretty cool thing. They shut down Lakeshore Drive from 5 a.m. till 11 a.m. or so, I want to say.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done that?
I've not done it. So we had a handful of people participate from the station. I've not. I just, on a Sunday, I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m., I guess.
But you get pancakes.
You don't blame me.
You get pancakes?
Or you used to. I know that. You used to get pancakes down by the Museum of Science and Industry.
Oh, man.
I always forget that it's happening. That's the day that I need to drive on the shore.
Yeah.
And then it's just okay, well, I guess my plans are scrapped.
Well, it's that's one of those things. It's just like the marathons down here, too, where if you're participating in it, it's great, and it's great scenery. Mm-hmm. But if you're inconvenienced by it, it's the worst thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, so next weekend is actually one of the best weekends if you want to go and check out some fests, because there's 10 or something.
Wow.
There's Mayfest, which is obviously a good old time up in Lincoln Square.
Spelt the old world.
Spelt the old way. Yes.
M-A-I Fest.
It's all things German. There's you need all the schnitzel and bratwurst that you want.
Now, do you know, is this up, because I live up by Lincoln Square, is this up over by the German restaurant's escaping me right now. The name of it. It
the
doesn't
Brauhaus?
Maybe I think it is Brauhaus.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
I just know great that it's spot. On Lincoln and Leland. Lincoln,
I think that would Lincoln be. Yeah, I think that would be the Brauhaus then. Yeah, that's great. What else do we have going on?
There's Dew Division next weekend, which is huge.
Oh my god, that always sneaks up on me.
Yeah, and it's one of the most fun ones that I've ever been to. There's also a place for kids to go during that, so not only the 20-somethings can go, go and bring the kids, and they can hang out and have fun, and there's lots of local beer. And
Do we have the performers listed?
Got some here. The Ponies, Adult, Shannon and the Clams, Webster X, and that's 10 blocks long.
That's crazy. Wow.
10 blocks.
Is that longer than normal? I don't know.
For a street fest? Yeah. 10 blocks. I mean, that's almost, that's division. Over a mile.
I know,
like
this 8 year
blocks
they're
to a mile, right?
Jeez. Yeah. I see they got Lucky Boys Confusion on Friday the 2nd, which is at the Subterranean. Chicago is really starting to do these festivals right. Go ahead.
I was going to say Empty Bottle and Subterranean. They're the ones who kind of book the bands for this particular fest. So that kind of helps them out with the music selection.
And honestly, two of the best music venues in the city is if you want to see an underground band or even a local band. The Empty Bottle, some of the best shows in my opinion, the entire
great
world.
Place. We did a we've done Battle of the Bands, and we've used them as our venue in the past at WGN for our Battle of the Bands contest. Mm-hmm. They're always good times.
Tom, you were starting to go through some of the headliners for that. So like you said,
I have the
Ponies. I'm not too up on them, but I mean,
I don't know them all that well. I just know, I just saw what they have. Ponies, Adult, Shannon and the Clams. I've heard of them, and I've heard a lot of people love that band.
I'm familiar with Chuck Reagan. He was the singer, if I'm not mistaken, of Hot Water Music, and then he's gone on to do a folk type project, if you will.
Man,
pretty good. Yeah,
I like the band Muy Bien.
Muy Bien.
The She Devils.
The She Devils.
This is my kind of band.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I think the She Devils was, I mean, don't quote me on this, but I think that they've been opening, they opened up for Eagles of Death Metal a few months ago, about a year ago. I think that if they didn't, I hope they do one day.
Yeah.
Because
that would be a heck of a show.
Oh my gosh. The street festivals are so great, and it's the best part. You get to see all the businesses that come to Chicago too.
The shopping.
I would have not have heard about Umami Burger if it wasn't for like the Dew Division Fest. Oh, and then I found out about it, and they were like having all these great deals and everything. So there's a lot that you can find out about Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, having gone to Dew Division the past few years in a row now, it's one of my favorites of the year. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, it kind of really kicks it off, it seems.
Yeah.
And the food is always awesome. They bring in a bunch of food trucks, and it's like, and I remember a few years back when the Hawks were playing the Kings in the Stanley Cup final, I was outside of a bar. They had it all open air, so you could see the TVs from the street. I was having a beer. There was a metal band playing in the background. And, well, I watched the Hawks lose to the Kings.
Oh.
So other than that, it was beautiful. But yeah, aside from that fact, it was a little rough. So, but I guess we could kind of move on.
Yeah, let's roll right along.
Yeah. Well, if we want to stick to next weekend, there's also the Linkin Park Greek Fest next weekend, which is put on by the St. George Greek Orthodox Church. And there's also like a bunch of music and like good Greek food. And that's also a really fun one to go to. So if you can hit Dew Division and Greek Fest in like one weekend, you're having a good weekend.
You will have eaten well, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, we would love to hear about our listeners, what kind of festivals you're going to, what are you excited for? It doesn't have to be in the city. It could be in the suburbs or something like that if you'd like.
Yeah, so Brothers, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just going to give the number 312-981-7200. What's going on, Joe? I mean, Tom.
Two Brothers Summerfest, that's happening next weekend, the second and third, and they have it's out in Aurora, so it's the River's Edge Park, which is kind of like it's like a little plaza like this, but right on the river there. I've been there before. They have the X Ambassador, Saint Motel, Blind Pilot, and those are the couple other headliners.
In Aurora?
That's Aurora. Like that's pretty good.
Awesome
lineup.
Yeah. And it's Two Brothers,
and that's the brewery, right?
Yeah.
Man. So great beer. That's excellent. And so I want to ask you for quickly here, Shelby. I'm not sure if you'll know the answer to this, but I'm seeing for the Linkin Park Greek Fest.
Yes.
It says cost free, any donation accepted. Now, are you going to get like, you know, the side eye if you don't donate at all?
Get hassled by the man.
I'm an advocate of donating.
You should,
you go,
right? Yeah.
Just because they put so much work into these fests. But even if it's just like you just like drop $5 in and then call it good, like you don't need to be extravagant with your donation, but I mean, everybody snuck into a fest without like giving the donation, and I always feel guilty afterwards. So I just recommend doing it. You should do it. I'm an advocate for donating.
Yeah.
What if I drop like a really tasty Dunkin' Donut in there or something like that?
Half-eaten
tamale.
Donut.
I'd rather deal with the guilt of not donating than like lose a donut.
So. That, you could write a little proverb and put it in there.
That's right.
Just a nice handwritten poem.
Yeah.
That'd be
my
really
donation.
Nice. Well, you know, you had kind of touched on, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but there's the Wayne's World Festival that's coming
up. So
speaking
I know,
of Aurora, since you just brought that up.
So they're celebrating 25 years, the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World, and that's going to be in Aurora. I got to pull up the info. Actually, let's do this. We'll do a teaser, right? We'll leave them hanging, wanting more. Let's take a quick break. We'll touch on the rest of the street fests, including the 25th anniversary celebration of Wayne's World. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. We have Red Eye reporter Shelby Bosted. Okay. Yeah. And Tom Barnes from WGN Morning News. Again, this is Sound Sessions here on WGN.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. We've been taking calls and kind of going out with our music roundtable here with Tom Barnes and Shelby Bosted. We're talking about the greatest festivals here in Chicago, what's coming up. But we kind of had a tease before. Everyone's favorite movie, especially if you're from Aurora, I think you need to have your favorite movie. Wayne's World is having their own festival coming up.
So what it's actually, and I'm getting this info from auroradowntown.org, it's the schedule of events for Party On 25 years of Wayne's World.
25 years?
Yeah, and so this has been going... Holy smokes. Isn't that crazy?
That was one of the first movies that I ever was able to see at the movie theater. I remember it was a big deal.
You got dropped off by your parents or somebody's parents? Yeah.
I wasn't even born yet when it came out.
Wow. Man, and...
But I've seen it since then.
Okay. So you were around for Wayne's World 2 at least, so that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll pass that.
Classic.
But I think some of the highlights from this festival, we have like an air guitar. Actually, that already happened. But they're doing a classic movie Monday. Actually, tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's going to be at the Paramount Theater. But the absolute like crowning event coming up, I think, is the headbanging to Bohemian Rhapsody, Aurora's attempt to break the world record for most people headbanging at one time. That's going to be on July 4th before the fireworks in Aurora.
I wonder how. I wonder what that record is.
I know. Has it been set yet? Yeah.
How high does the bar need to be set?
25 people? 2,500?
I'm picturing like Guinness inspectors. You're not headbanging hard enough. She doesn't count. She doesn't count. Get her out of here.
I barely saw that hair move. Come on. You're out. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So let's get into the West Fest. I think we were kind of talking about that.
Yes. So West Fest, Empty Bottle, we were just talking about them earlier. They put together the lineup for that, and I'm trying to like pull up the lineup now.
I'm looking right now. I'm seeing ESG, Royal Headache, Woods, Cymbals Eat Guitars. I know them. They're pretty solid. And some others that I'm not too familiar with, actually.
Yeah. And that's in Westtown, July 7th through the 9th.
Okay.
So that'll be also like a really great, very Chicago music fest to go to. And probably more low-key than like a Do Division or a Lala.
Yeah. There's one on your list coming up here that I'm a big fan of, and it's in June. It's the Taste of Randolph Fest.
Oh, I love that.
However, it gets... Yeah, the food is so good, and the bands are awesome, but it gets so crowded. That's the downside there.
And there's nowhere to park around there, which makes it a little... Unless you're taking the Green Line and getting off at Morgan Street, I think... Yeah, there's not a lot of parking around there,
but it's
a good time.
But yeah, this
but
is over.
But it's a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's a good time.
It's over by where, like, you know, A Girl and the Goat and all that good stuff is.
Restaurant Row down there on Randolph, yeah.
So I want to see who is...
They have Robert DeLong playing, I know that, as one of their headliners.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, so many great music artists are coming through the city right now. It's fantastic. So that, obviously that's going to be just jam-packed with people. You know, I wanted to touch on something that I know the host, I produced the show with Patty Vasquez. She has a really great connection with the women's, what is it called?
The Women's Funny Festival? Funny Women's Festival. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So can you give us a little bit about details behind that one?
Yeah. So that's at Stage 773 in Lakeview. And there's going to be like 500 performers. And I talked to their
500 performers?
Across like... 80 different shows over the course of the weekend. Yeah, it's insane. Insane. And they're not all, it's not all like just stand-up. There's stand-up, there's improv. There's one group called, something about Matt Damon where they pick out, something about Matt Damon. It's
like
very specific.
But they
pick out one person from the audience and they make them sit on the stage and then that person can only repeat what the performers say. So it's, and the person is either called like the Matt Damon or like the Lena Dunham. And they are like only allowed to say the things that other people have said to kind of, you know, there's like a whole bunch of like Matt Damon controversy. Like he's in all these roles that he shouldn't be in. So it's that kind of thing.
I'm interested
in
that.
Which is hilarious. Yeah.
I know Katie Rich, who was the SNL writer that got kind of in some hot water with a tweet about Barron Trump. She's going to be appearing there as well. And she's been on the Bill and Wendy show before. She's actually very funny, very intelligent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I would definitely go check that out.
Mm-hmm. And controversial.
Yes, and controversial.
And controversial. But funny.
Yes. Fantastic. Fantastic. Let me look at some of the other ones. You know, I we did want to kind of touch on what are some of your favorite festivals
that come
through Chicago. Tom Barnes of WGN-TV, basically an all-around music expert. What are some of the things you like to do during the summer?
I love Riot Fest. I mean, that's at the end of the summer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But Riot Fest, that is my favorite. I mean, the first time I ever went there was the first year it was at Humboldt Park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was magical. You know, it was like 80s metal meets punk rock meets, you know, I mean, there was like Cypress Hill was there. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. And I love that show. But Randolph Street Fest, I love that one just because of the food. I mean, some of the best restaurants in the city are down there.
Right.
I used to do Division. It was one of the ones I love just because you get to check out all the there's so many artists that are out there, a lot of Chicago stuff. So I saw you have a Chicago flag tattoo.
Right.
You see that stuff everywhere.
Yes.
On that one. That's why I love going to that one. Anything actually outdoor, I feel, fest-wise in the city, you're going to find like a really cool Chicago
absolutely
piece of artwork, which is like, that's my favorite stuff. Mm-hmm. So I live for that. But yeah, and Rib Fest, that was my other one.
Oh, and that's the one up on Irving Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one, that one's really good. Yeah, and you talked about, like, we seem to talk about Riot Fest quite a bit because it's, in my opinion, you know, lineup wise and layout wise and just everything, it's the perfect festival in Chicago, in my opinion.
Right. I feel like it's what Lollapalooza used to be,
right,
like back
good
in
point
the early 90s.
Yeah.
Because when you, I mean, I was a kid, but going to Lollapalooza back then was just about, like, it was just trippy and it's traveled. It wasn't in Chicago.
I remember.
It was city to city.
Yeah.
And it would set up down in Tinley Park.
Yep.
And that's what Riot Fest reminds me of, what Lolla used to be. Because now Lolla is very commercialized and there's a ton of people there, so it's a little hard to enjoy it sometimes. But I'm an old guy, so I don't know. I think maybe some I'm speaking out of turn for
no,
a generation.
No, Riot Fest is great. And this year they have a John Stamos Art Fest or like
what?
Art collection that's coming. Yeah.
In
at Riot Fest, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So it's like a touring exhibit, I guess? Or?
No, they're just like getting like local artists to send in their John Stamos pieces of work. Yeah.
Interesting.
Breaking
yeah
news.
Well, they
I
have this
know
like long-standing love affair with him. They like commissioned like a butter sculpture of him in like
yes
2013 mm-hmm or something. So
mm-hmm he often yeah they have that Riot Fest convertible that just sits
yes
in there
sits
with the with the Stamos at the wheel. That's another cool thing about Chicago. It's just the organizers of that festival are so tongue-in-cheek and just so easy to get along with. You
yeah
can see that they're doing this festival for the right reasons.
Yeah, and they're from here. You
exactly
know what I mean? Like they started here, they're from here. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great fest.
And
a
weird
you
obsession
don't need
with
to
Stamos
wear a flower crown, so that's always a good
that's
time
a big perk. Yeah,
it's always a good time.
It's a lot of black at
yeah
at the Riot Fest.
Yes. There's
a festival coming up here in June that just took my interest pretty because it's got things I love. The Chicago Taco and Tequila Festival.
Oh yeah.
Do we know anything about this?
Yes, I have. It's new this year.
You can't go wrong with
in
those.
In Jackson Park, is that the one you're looking at?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, June 24th through 25th.
Yes.
So yeah, it's like kind of hard to believe that nobody paired those together for a specific fest like that. But it's I know that there's like $15. There's a $15 admission fee, and you get like one free cocktail, which is like worth it because
okay
that's what you're
yeah
going to spend somewhere downtown.
Right.
So there's going to be DJ sets, and it's just I'm excited for that one.
And it's got tacos and tequila.
Tacos and tequila. Yeah.
So
what else do you need
wrong
in a summer
there
fest?
Three pavilions of small batch tequila. Three pavilions of tequila. You
three
can't go wrong.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That seems like an absurd amount of tequila. Three pavilions.
They have a mixology stage up
I
there.
I bet we'll go through it.
Yeah, right.
I bet we'll, everybody will get through it.
All right, so let's move forward to the Taste of Chicago. It used to be the crown point of all the festivals here in the city. What do you guys? What are your thoughts on it now? Where is it going? Do you see it, you know, progressing, or is it kind of, you know, it's been a bit stagnant, I feel like, over the last few years?
Yeah, in more ways than one. I was there last year, and it was so hot, and there was no breeze, and I was spending
yeah
like $17,000 to eat bites of food that I could not spend $17,000 on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like they get you with like, oh yeah, admission's free, and you think that you're gonna go and have this great time, but then by the end of the day you've spent $50 on
oh, yeah
food tickets and
well and it's
you're
funny
just bloated and feel gross.
But it's so it's like it's free for only a portion of it, because if you want to go to the actual concerts you have to pay, correct?
Yeah.
Like for the bigger name concerts.
Well, I think that the pavilion's what you have to pay for, but
yeah,
the lawn
yeah
is free.
Okay.
Because I
oh
saw a couple
okay
of bands there where you can just stand there and watch, but if you wanted to sit in the pavilion part, that's where they charge you. It's just a weird, I don't know, I feel like Taste of Chicago is like the sad fest of all the fest. And I mean
yeah
that with all, because it used to be the best fest. I mean,
yeah
you were kids, you used to go there for 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
You used
mm-hmm
to have, you know, all this concerts and everything else. And now I think because there's so many other festivals, they have a hard time attracting people. I mean,
mm-hmm,
and I get they try to do the lineup where they try to make everybody happy lineup.
Yeah.
Where they have, because they have the Passion Pit, but not the Passion Pit, Passion Pit, the OJs, Twin Peaks, and then you got the Waco Brothers. Those are all, like, Waco Brothers is a Chicago band that
yeah
has been around, but you know, any gig is a good gig, but I feel like they just try to please everybody, and they should
right
just, they should just pick a lane.
Well, mm-hmm, we're almost out of time here, so I want to go through real quick and just go, like, give me one sleeper pick, or, you know, one that's not going to be as popular, but I'll start it off because this is in my neighborhood, the Square Roots Craft Brew and Music Festival up in Lincoln Square. I have a great time there every year. A lot of really good food up on Lincoln Avenue there, so that's my pick.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Well, I guess I will take this. I do like the name Benfest, but I see that it's a it's a family-friendly kid activity one, so I'm not going to go with that one. But this is kind of a slow ball here, but I think, you know, if you're thinking about it, I think Pitchfork is doing a really good job of not, yeah, of, you know, being a good music festival, but it's so... It's so much like almost like Summerfest. Like it, people are no longer there to, you know, headbang and just hang. It's a laid back festival. I feel like there should be like a picnic basket that is, goes along with your tickets, sure, after a while. So yeah, that'd be mine.
What about you, Tom?
I'm a guilty pleasure. That's what this one is. It's Man Beyond the Beach, mm-hmm, because they have MGMT, Walk the Moon, and they have some other hip hop bands. It's the only festival that's actually on the beach.
That's pretty cool.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. I think the last one that did that was Wavefront from a few years ago. Yeah. And that was all EDM music. So this has got, you know, a little bit of, you know, rock and roll and a little bit, right, of hip hop.
This is their second year or third year? Or 10th year?
I don't know.
They're early, I think.
Yeah, but it's also in Bronzeville, which is different. It's a different part of the city to see. Oh. And I think I like that, you know, it's specifically at Oakwood Beach. Mm-hmm. So it's just different versus, yeah, like in the same spots. I like checking, cool, out different parts of the city. So
very,
that's
cool.
Yeah.
Shelby, what about you?
So this year, Ravenswood on Tap is 2 days as opposed to the one day that it was last year because it was such a success. And like anywhere that you have like a bunch of like craft breweries is always a good time. So this year there's like Beguile and Half Acre, which are all right there.
Good
and
stuff.
There's no entry fee, but there is a $5 donation. So,
or
donate. Yes. But yeah, that's my favorite.
Well, Tom and Shelby, we appreciate you guys coming on to Talk Fest with us. If people want to find you guys online, is there any like Twitter presence or anything?
Oh yeah, but my last name is really hard to spell. So it's at Shelby L. Bosted, S-H-E-L-B-I-E, L, B as in boy, O, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, E as in Edward, D as in David, T as in Tom.
Wow. That was,
my mom taught me that.
Tom, what about you?
Mine's at Tom WGN Chicago.
Perfect.
Well, much easier.
We have to take a quick break. Mm-hmm. A lot more in store. We'll go to the newsroom after the break here with Roger. But you are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. This is Michael and Kevin. So happy to be here. We're in for Brian Noonan tonight. And that beautiful sound you're hearing is by the one and only band, The Beatles. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Who?
The Beatles.
Oh.
We got a great guest coming up. Mr. Ronnie Schneider is going to be giving us the inside scoop on what's going on with the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. Great historian, great music mind. He's the author of Out of Our Heads, The Rolling Stones, The Beatles, and Me. He's actually worked with some of the biggest names in show business, including the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Sam Cooke, Neil Sedaka, Bobby Vinton. He also produced the 1970 documentary Gimme Shelter, which we talked about a little bit earlier, that chronicled the last weeks of the Rolling Stones' 1969 U.S. tour. And we have Ronnie on the phone. Ronnie, what's going on, man? Welcome to Sound Sessions.
Well, I'm here, so that's a good start. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing very well.
We're doing great. So, you know, you had this extraordinary life. Where did this start? What were your humble beginnings to get to work with such legendary musicians like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles?
Well, being a boring accountant, I was going to the University of Miami. And during the summers, my mother said, why don't you experience accounting work by going up and staying with my Uncle Alan Klein. So my Uncle Alan Klein was the guy that originally had Sam Cooke, Neil Sedaka, and all those people. So I would go up in the summers and do accounting work for those groups. And then actually in 1965, when I graduated, I was dancing to Satisfaction, and I went into New York, and my uncle said, I just signed this group, the Rolling Stones. Go on the road with them and represent me in the box office. And that's how it really started.
My gosh, what a cool kismet kind of thing! If you're gonna just, you know, be a young kid who's just in accounting and you get to go on tour with
all
the Rolling
sudden,
Stones,
right.
It's like that movie with Cameron. What's that?
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous. That's right.
Yeah, people always tell me that the only difference in all that was the fact that I didn't care about any of that stuff. and when I went in, it was the advantage was the boys were the same age as me, us boys. And so we all related, and it was a different kind of case because I was like a crazy accountant. So that was the advantage I had with them. And once again, with the Stones, it was a case of guys that were just so, when we went on the road together, we just hung out together, and that's where we started to relate, and it turned out quite nice.
So you talk about that. You guys are just hanging out. Like, Is there any kind of behind the scenes? I mean, can you speak to, like, were these guys just regular guys? Or, I mean, were they living this lavish?
That's what it is. Yeah, sorry to jump on you.
No,
That's what it is. What people don't understand is they're all regular guys. The Stones, the Beatles, all of them, you know, Jefferson Airplane, everybody's a regular guy. When they get together in the groups, the thing that makes the difference, I think, is the creative talent. And the music comes out. I would sit in the studios and listen to the Stones, and it wouldn't be just one guy going in and doing something. It would be each guy would contribute. Brian would do something. Bill would do something. Mick. So the end result was it was this thing that would build with all these little pieces, and then at the end of the day, or probably usually a couple of weeks, you'd hear this amazing song come out of them. And nobody ever knew for sure what it was, but, you know, you had that feeling. I would sit there and listen to them. They'd try and get my opinion. I'd never give it, but the stuff was amazing.
Wow. You know, it was such an interesting climate, too, at that time. In the 1960s, music was changing, the country was changing, the world, basically, was a whole new place. But that 1960s phrase that kind of always stuck around, that sex, drugs, and rock and roll really, you know, bit through that core of music. It was a really accurate summary of what went on. Could you explain, you know, how that came to be? What was it like living during that time?
Well, right now is the magic time because, like, they're celebrating the release of Sgt. Pepper.
50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 50-year anniversary of that right now. God, who believes that?
Right.
And it was also the time that the Stones were competing with their satanic majesties. So, in the sense that I lost the trend because I was trying to think. I'm thinking of those moments when it was like the Beatles did this magic music with that stuff and drugs were taking over, and here Sgt. Pepper looked fantastic, mm-hmm. which I consider the Beatles did it on a buzz, and then when you listen to their satanic majesties, it was more like a hangover. The Stones weren't in a good place at that time, so I always think of that in a little special way because the Stones were all upset, the drug busts, speaking of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was always the rock and roll for both groups was more important than anything else. The byproducts, of course, were sex and drugs, which, you know, come on, it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the summer of love. So, like I said, it was a case where all us short, ugly people had a chance to finally celebrate sex.
Well, I want to know, you know, with these guys, the Beatles and the Stones kind of putting out music, you know, at different, well, I guess kind of in the same era. Mm-hmm. What was the relationship between the two bands? Were they friendly or was it like competitive?
It's always a friendly competition. Realize the Beatles gave the Rolling Stones their first song, I Want to Be Your Man.
Mm.
So, you know, it was always the friendly. Everybody looked at everybody else. They envied each other. I think Mick wanted to be one of them. You know, Paul wanted to be another. You know, they would be the bad guy, the good guys. You know, so they all had this impression. Like I said, here we had Sgt. Pepper, which is all pretty and clean. And then you have satanic majesties. So that was, they both played against what they were represented to be, but none of them took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
They never paid attention to the press, and that's why I think they all survived.
Yeah.
It's people that tried to live up to what people expected of them that burned themselves out.
Hey, Ronnie, are you okay on time? We want to take a quick break and come back to you. Does that work for you?
I think so. So far, I'm doing great. I love talking. It makes sure I'm still alive.
All right, everybody, give us a call, and we would love to hear, you know, your past memories with the Rolling Stones or Beatles and seeing what it's like, if you had any celebrity run-ins with them also, too, or if you have any, you know, the first time you heard them, it'd be great to hear from you. So call us or text us if you don't want to be on air, 312-981-7200, but we're putting the call out. Let's talk some Beatles and Rolling Stones.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you're listening to Sound Sessions on WGN Radio. We're talking with Ronnie Schneider about the Beatles and the Stones and his relationship with them. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more Sound Sessions here on WGN.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. This is Michael and Kevin. You can call in anytime, 312-981-7200. Text in the same number, 312-981-7200. You can find us on Sound Sessions. Search us on Facebook. You can find us on WGNRadio.com.
We're all over the place.
We are. But speaking about all over the place, we have two of the greatest bands of all time that we've been discussing with our good friend Ronnie Schneider, who's the author of Out of Our Heads, The Rolling Stones, The Beatles, and Me. And we kind of left off, Ronnie, on the fact, you know, that the climate was changing in the 60s and these bands were coming to life. But at the same time, like saying very grounded. You know, what was the climate like in the studio? Did you ever get a chance to see those creative juices flowing when you were working with them?
Oh, absolutely. I was in the studio with them, and it's interesting when you're just a person who doesn't know anything about it. It could be one of the most boring things in the world because you just sit there, and it's the creative process, which is very ugly usually. Mm-hmm. But with the Stones, it would usually begin about 1 o'clock in the morning. So it was always a late process. Yeah, well, if they get in, you go into the studio, and it's like everybody getting organized, getting into a place, and I think it's probably like writers, and also you're trying to get creative, and it's getting, adding, doing it with the details, setting up the speakers, setting up microphones. So all in all, I was in studios with both groups, but the thing that I can sit there and say that made it worthwhile is, like I said, they'd maybe be in a little separate cubicle by themselves, but I could watch as each person added that little thing I spoke of earlier.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you'd be just sitting there, and then it comes to a crescendo with also the help of the engineers and the producers and all that. It's a group effort. It's like any team sport. The end result is you get this music that lasts forever, which is what I think makes it all magic.
You know, and it's interesting, too.
I want to give you a little background. I wanted to tell you one little thing about you when you were asking about growing up with these things. Let me ask you what you would think of it. You're a little kid from Miami. You go on the road with these guys, the Rolling Stones. You're not impressed by Celebrity. It doesn't matter. And at the end of the tour, you also room with this other guy, the photographer, Garrett Mankiewicz. The end of the tour, this Keith Richards, who's an amazing musician, everybody obviously respects him, comes over and says, "Hey, guys, you want to go horseback riding with me over the weekend? We'll get horses. We'll camp out." And luckily, Garrett took these pictures, and we went and rented guns and all. But the one point I wanted to make is, as Garrett said, he said, "You know, you look at these pictures, and you and I look like these two old Jewish guys, and Keith Richards looks like Billy the Kid."
That's such a cool story. I mean, it's such a weird, like, that's such an, you know, you want to go horseback riding? I don't picture a rock star, you know, that's such a bizarre, but hilariously awesome story. That's great.
Yeah, with Keith Richards, too, who is one of the most legendary, like, party animals of all time, and he's just like, yeah, let's go on the Stallions.
Well, Ronnie, going back to the studio, I wanted to touch on, too, I mean, the Beatles are credited, in some of their recordings, are credited with a lot of, like, innovation that kind of still lasts in recording today, such as, like, feedback and other things. Mm-hmm, I mean... Mm-hmm.
Reverse recordings and you know, oh man, just so many great solos that come from sounds that aren't even real things, like birds chirping and stuff like that was not seen before.
So, I mean, can you speak to the innovation at all that was going on?
Well, I'm an accountant, not a musical engineer.
Sure.
All I can tell you is I was around and I heard what everybody was saying about it. Let's do it that way. You know, like all these greats are analyzing it. The end result was Sergeant Pepper was just amazingly creative. I mean, talking as the accountant, also made a lot of money, but it was also, when you think of all the songs and the way they look, I always thought that Sergeant Pepper had to be a cultural effect on all of us. Because up until that, you know, in the 50s, all the kids were wearing suits, it was all these other, now the Beatles gave everybody permission to do acid and dress like an idiot. So it was like you'd watch on King's Road in London, you watch people strolling around, but you could do what you wanted to do. It brought about individuality, but all these individuals wanted to be hippies and, you know, wild psychedelics. So I think the culture really changed during that time, which is what you brought up. And meanwhile, the Stones were, you know, Keith was coming out with riffs that get you through your bones. You
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man.
That was what I could say about the music, you know.
Sure.
What a great creative time. And, you know, when they were putting these albums together, a lot of people, you know, when I was growing up, the first albums that I ever heard in my life were with my dad, and we'd listen to Sgt. Pepper's, or we'd listen to, you know, the Rolling Stones or Cat Stevens or something like that. And these records that they created really, you know, kind of influenced my life. I mean, I wouldn't be into music the way I am now if it wasn't for those early times. We actually have a caller right now who had a quick question about the Beatles albums. John, welcome to Sound Sessions. What's going on, man?
This is a great show. I love this topic. And it's a pleasure to talk to all of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got two questions. One has to do with the album Rubber Soul. Apparently, not one cut on that album was ever a 45 or released as a 45. For whatever reason, I wonder if you know the story behind that. And then, of course, this, the other song, Michelle, written by McCartney, was given to Jonathan and David. They made it the hit. And I'm wondering what album that is on by McCartney, if it even is. So I'll stop and listen.
Thank you, John.
Well, if you're looking to me to answer that, I don't have one. The only thing I can tell you about Rubber Soul was for the longest time, it was my favorite album.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought Norwegian Wood and all that. So I didn't get into the detail, and I'm not one of the musicologists that goes through all of that stuff. I can just relate to my experiences with them and the appreciation I had for the music that they were creating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it sounded pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, that was good. You pulled it off.
That did. And you know what happened? A little bit of the small bit of music knowledge I have about the Beatles, when they were putting out these albums, a lot of the time it came out in two different retrospects. Like, so you'd get the British album version, and then they'd translate it over to the American version, because they were making so much money at that time. They were putting the same kind of songs in two different albums with two different covers, and they were making just twice as much. So maybe that had something to do with the fact that never came out as a 45. You know, there was a lot of inner workings with these albums, which may help explain it a little bit. But yeah, all in all, great, great album. I mean,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, I can tell you another thing, though. Knowing the record companies were trying to sell albums. They didn't want to sell singles.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, once again, they would keep all the songs. Remember, it was hard enough to get them to do EPs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the complaint. That's what brought about the other big revolution, about people were just sick and tired of buying albums to get a single. So, you know, that's the only point I can make on that part.
Ronnie, I want to know.
Wait, I will give you. Wait, I'm sorry, I'll give you
no,
one
go ahead.
Other little inside
yeah.
on the Stones at this time with Satanic Majesties. When they were recording that, they did a song, 2,000 Light Years from Home, if I remember. 2000. Anyhow, that song, I was on.
No kidding.
No way.
You know, what happened was the Stones were trying to get special weird sounds. It was supposed to be psychedelic sounds, universe, you know, traveling in space. And I've got a very weird voice, as you can tell. And they said, everybody, go sit around a microphone. They put us in a little room around a microphone. There were a few of us sitting on the ground and standing. And they said, okay, let's make some sounds. When you were talking about the creative process and the music, yeah, they said, make some sounds. And some of my sounds was me screeching my voice out.
I'll have to listen for that. Listen closely.
I'm going to listen like a bird to that. That's going to be great.
Right.
So, Ronnie, real quick, we're almost out of time here, but I want to know,
yes.
I mean, if you were around or if you had any insight on the breakup of the band, the Beatles.
Yes, I do, and I can tell you right now, number one, Yoko had nothing to do with it.
Okay, see, I was going to ask.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's two big things that I'm aware of that the rest of the world has wrong. One, number one, the Rolling Stones, of which I was involved, never hired the Hells Angels, and Yoko didn't break up the Beatles. It just seems the press likes to have something to go on. I'd been with John and Yoko many times, and John would give me about 1,000 brilliant ideas every 2 seconds. I'd say, just one a day, John, please, one a day. But he'd keep rattling them out. And while he'd be talking, every now and then, Yoko would come over to say something to jump in. And as opposed to being a guy who's kowtowed to this other person, he basically would say, shut up, which was embarrassing at the time. But it was John was saying, hey, I'm making a point. Don't interrupt me. And so that was that point. So, you know, that's what I could tell you. The breakup was because it was like any group of guys, time, things, life changes and all that. It was a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure right now, if they were all still alive, they'd be together, because they wouldn't let the Rolling Stones be out on the road alone.
Yeah,
that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Before you go, we have about 30 seconds here. I got to know, what was the story behind the Hells Angels with Rolling Stones? Because Rolling Stones, they have a great thing going on. They have a great connection to Chicago with Chess Records, and they have the Rolling Stones exhibitionism at Navy Pier right now. But I got to know, that's such a classic story. What was the story behind that?
Well, by the way, I was supposed to be there for the exit. Well, the classic story behind it is the Stones were in Muscle Shoals recording till the day before the concert. I got there 2 days before the concert. Everything was organized by the Grateful Dead and all the people over in that group, Rock Scully, that whole entourage. They organized it like they usually did always in San Francisco. The Hells Angels always came to the events and guarded the generators. They were allowed to stay around the stage because they guarded the generators. You can't hire the Hells Angels. What happens is the people in Altamont wanted to have this big event and get their name on the you know, everybody's radar. And when we go to do it, and all of a sudden it turns out this guy's murdered. Well, it's self-defense. When the guy's killed there, everybody's scared. What are we going to do? You can't blame it on the Grateful Dead, all those people there. So what do? They blame it on those Brits. They're leaving town anyhow.
Jeez, jeez.
So if you think about it logically, number one, the other two things, as I'm jumping quickly, the other two things is the event was put on by not me and not by the Rolling Stones. When I was asked to sign for the event, I said no. I didn't want to be legally obligated. And instead, we heard from a voice in the back, I'll sign, and that was John James, who turned out to be a giant con man that nearly got me killed. John James signed for it and the event. So the end result was any legal world would look at that whole thing. The Stones were invited to come play for free. They agreed to do a nice, good event. And as the saying goes, no good deed goes unpunished.
That's such a that's Ronnie Schneider. Ronnie, I could talk to you for the next like 6 days, but it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Sound Sessions.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
Let's keep in touch. Let's take a quick break here. We have the news coming up. Ronnie, you take it. You have a really great night, and we're going to get to the news really quick after this quick commercial break.
Look at a naked woman, finely crafted, like a Ferrari.
Ooh.
Then they got to the guy, and they were like,
we ran out of time.
Put the genitals on the outside. It doesn't matter.
It's Andrew Sandina in his new Showtime comedy special.
Sam, T, got you. Oh.
And one of the stars in the upcoming Showtime original series, I'm Dying Up Here.
You'll never see a black guy whitewater rafting, skydiving. That's some white people. Black guy, do you go skydiving? Never in your life.
It's Andrew Santina, Home Field Advantage. Premieres Friday, June 2nd at 9.
Hey, welcome back to Sound Sessions. My name is Michael.
And this is Kevin.
And from Chicago's own native son, Andrew Santino has an upcoming comedy special, Andrew Santino, Home Field Advantage, premiering Friday, June 2nd. He also stars in the great new series that I've been hearing so much buzz about, I'm Dying Up Here, which premieres June 4th. This is fantastic. We got Andrew on the phone. What's going on, man?
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me on the phone with you. I am excited to talk all things Chicago.
Yeah, that's what we do best. So Andrew, I guess like we were just saying off the mic, you know, you're out in Los Angeles now. But so how long and where exactly, or whereabouts of the city did you live?
I was born and raised downtown Chicago. I was at Rush Hospital, room 1412. No, I don't know.
What I was going to say, wow.
Thorough.
I was born and raised around near Old Town Chicago, and we moved around pretty frequently. I actually grew up for the first 8 years of my life in high rises. I lived in one of those big tall buildings in the Gold Coast for the first 8 years of my life, and then my mom remarried and they moved to the western suburbs. And that's where I finished the remainder of my time in Chicago.
That's great. So, you know, living in that Old Town area, that's a huge comedy mecca.
Oh,
so
for sure.
You kind of grew up with that in your roots. Did you go back there? Did you kind of like get this sense of this is what I kind of want to do from an early age?
No, I mean, you know, I wouldn't attribute it to anything more than just me being so enamored with comedy as a whole as a kid. I was always goofing around. I was always getting in trouble, and I was enamored with comedy and comedic actors, and I became obsessed with that world. And I, you know, Chicago scene is incredible. However, you know, I didn't start in Chicago, and I didn't have any comedy connection to Chicago because I started on the West Coast here. So, it's kind of weird because people assume, you know, you're from Chicago, and they're like, oh, you probably started in some of the best, you know, some of the best improv and sketch world. But as a stand-up, after I graduated college, I went right to Los Angeles I wanted to sink or swim out here. So I went right here.
Oh, do you have any, I guess, comedy icons or, like, you know, individuals that you kind of have looked up in the scene or maybe that they have taken you under their wing?
You know, there's guys along the way that have been inspirations and guys that I love. I mean, Bill Burr is probably my favorite comic.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Arguably, you know, of all time for myself personally. I'm not saying he's the best of all time, but I don't want to start some kind of internet war. Some people will be trolling me like, you don't know anything about comedy. There's so many brilliant comedians. But I think Bill is probably my personal favorite, especially because I get to watch and perform with these people as peers. So that's kind of, you know, a blessing. But like, when I was young, I was enamored with Carlin. I thought he was brilliant.
Totally.
Only because I knew it was nothing like I could be. I didn't have that kind of mindset or style. So I was obsessed with him because I thought he was so impressive. It was something that I could never do. So I always loved Carlin. I thought he was he was a poet the way he told jokes. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's so true because, you know, you grow up and I remember just watching Comedy Central when all they would play is stand-up specials and you just watch those over and over again because there wasn't a lot of content back in when
true.
We were growing up and we're all like kind of around the same age. Now, I'm sure you've gotten mm-hmm. this question a lot. You got to be in I'm Dying Up Here, your new series coming out June 4th with a comedy legend himself, Jim Carrey. And I'm sure you've been asked this a bunch, but what kind of lessons did he give you? Or were you a little bit nervous being around such a big name like him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little surreal to say that, like, your comedy idol is your boss. I mean, it's a little strange. It was a weird thing to, like, you know, be a part of this world with him. But he treats you like an equal. And Jim is a very wise, experienced person that I think everything he told us, you know, we kind of took to heart because he had a lot of lessons to divulge, whether it was stories about the Comedy Store from the 70s, you know, about him smoking a joint with Richard Pryor in the parking lot and Richard kind of giving him nuggets of wisdom, or, you know, learning who slept in the basement of the Comedy Store and learning how some certain comics had different personas publicly than they did privately. And mm-hmm. he would give us these great little comedy nuggets to take both personally and, you know, for our work. And a lot of the stories that we tell on the show, and I'm Dying Up Here, are based on Jim's real life in Los Angeles. So they're going to be mixed in with all the characters. It's not one specific character as Jim's character, but you will see a lot of these great stories told from Jim's, you know, real life that we've embodied on the show.
Yeah, that sounds like I'm really excited to check that out. And this is on, excuse my ignorance, is it Showtime?
Yes. The Showtime, my special is on Showtime, and so is the show. This Friday is my special, and this Sunday is I'm Dying Up Here, the show. So I'm really excited, man. I hope people will tune in and continue to watch all 10 episodes, and hopefully, you know, want us to do more.
That's so awesome. I mean, what a life to be living right now. You're right in the heat of all this comedy, and comedy is making this big resurgence with all the Netflix specials and the great HBO and Showtime specials going on now. You talked a little bit about how Jim had these kind of stories, you know, that he's kind of putting into this new show. What kind of stories did you have, you know, growing up in the comedy scene and in Los Angeles? Did you have to, like, you know, work the door or any secret explosions from comedians that we might know or anything that you want to tell us?
Well, I can't tell you all the secrets, but I can tell you. I mean, I started in Los Angeles here. I never worked at the comedy clubs. I held a day job for a little while when I first moved out here, and I kind of bounced around and made money however I could. And I slept on a Lazy Boy when I first moved here down in Long Beach. And, yeah, I had to drive up every night using my buddy's truck to do open mics. And, you know, I went through this struggle of going on the road. And I did these things called triple runs that a lot of Los Angeles comedians will talk about. This guy used to book these small rooms and casinos all over the western part of nowhere in the United States, of like Missoula, Montana, and these random places in Nevada. And you find yourself driving either alone or with a buddy 9 or 10 hours to do 20 minutes to get $40, and you lose it on gas and food and partying. So it's like the common run of all young comics to try to get to the headlining ability. And I got pulled over one time. I got a speeding ticket that cost me more than all three of my gigs.
Oh, no.
Jeez. Yeah, it wasn't. I almost cried. I'm not Mr. Tough Guy, but I don't cry often. But I almost cried to the cop because I was like, you're going to put me under. I'm not going to be able to make rent. And he said, who cares? And he wrote the ticket anyway.
Wow.
So, really nice guy.
Yeah, he sounds nice. So do you have any secrets that you take when you do get pulled over? Like, because everyone's like, maybe, you know, I got to turn on the Christian radio station or start crying or anything like that. What did you do to try to get out of that ticket? Or did you just take it?
I was begging him. I begged. Nowadays, if I get pulled over, I do nothing. I put my hands up as high as I can. Don't make any quick moves. You never know what's going on today. I mean, you guys know. You're in Chicago. Are you kidding me? No, but I just begged him. I pleaded my case. I said, I'm a poor young comedian. I have no money. You see the car that I'm driving. You see the clothes that I'm wearing. I'm just trying to get to my next gig. And you know, I don't have a dime to my name. And he just stared me down, you know, and you could tell there was no sympathy in his heart whatsoever for my story. He didn't care.
Wow.
He was making quota, man. But yeah. He went home to his nice family and his warm home with his beautiful wife and had dinner while I cried at a Burger King at 3:30 in Laughlin, Nevada. Okay? It was...
Poor guy. Andrew, I want to know, so you've lived the Chicago life and now you're living the L.A. life. Is there any, like, comparisons, maybe differences or draws that you kind of see between the two?
I mean, they're dynamically so different. I miss Chicago. Chicago's my home. I'll always have this huge hole in my heart for Chicago. I miss it, and I wish I could live there. But, you know, the comedy scene is vibrant in Chicago and similar to L.A., I would say, in the fact that there's a lot of great comics. There's always someone on the come up. You know, you can't get complacent there because there's so much competition, just like there is in Los Angeles, and same with New York. But, you know, comparable in the comedy world, there's a similarity of there's a hunger and there's a fight because there's a lot of men and women that are in the comedy game that move out to Los Angeles from Chicago. We, you know, Chicago produces a lot of comedians, sketch and improv and stand up. And I think it's because it's a competitive city and it's got that Midwest grit to it. And mm-hmm. It's kind of the, you know, it's the hub, so to speak, of Midwest comedy. So people from all over the Midwest move to Chicago, you know, just to get in that scene because it's so alive. And I think that's what's helpful when comics move to Los Angeles from Chicago. I think it's helpful for them because they've already had a lot of good competition in Chicago. You know, it's harder when some guy is he's the best comic in Oklahoma, and then he comes here and it's like, oh my God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The competition is so stiff in Chicago. There's so much great comedy and comedians coming out of Chicago. So it makes it more of a challenge that sets them up for when you do come to Los Angeles or go to New York.
Sure. Well, can you speak to maybe, like, aside from the comedy world, like, well, because I was out in L.A. in early March, and I had a great time, but I got to say, I think Chicago's Mexican food is better than L.A.'s Mexican food. Is there anything you can talk about, like, you know,
food?
Oh,
you have no idea what you're talking about. What did you go to, Taco Bell?
We hit a few places, and I was just kind of, like, I did not have a single Michelada that I was like, wow, that's delicious.
This is enough. I can't even hear this anymore. Listen, I'm a Chicago guy. We have so much better food in Chicago, but the one thing that Chicago doesn't have, we have the best Mexican. The problem is you probably went to white guy Mexican places
that
where a white person took you
that
to.
That could be, yeah.
You got to go to East L.A. You got to go to the nitty-gritty mom and pop. They got a B- on their food rating. You know what I mean? You got to go to a dangerous place. You could get stabbed on the way out, but the tacos are worth it. That's the place you need to go to. You can't go to the safe, you know, common spots. I think we have the best Mexican food in the Southwest. I don't think anybody beats Southern California. I personally think it's the best. But do I miss Portillo's?
Ugh.
Yeah, like a madman. There's no Italian beef out here. I have to drive to Orange County. We have a Portillo's down in Orange County. The only one, I think, outside of Chicago is here. So I have to drive all the way down there just to get a delicious Italian beef because no one out here knows how to make them. They don't exist.
Well, you guys do also have the In-N-Out burger that we don't have here, which is definitely amazing, equally as amazing out there.
It's delicious, but you know what, dude? It's a cheeseburger.
That's
true. These California kids, they brag about it so much. I got to tell you, it's a great cheeseburger, but there's so many good cheeseburger places now that I just don't know if that they can hold that standard anymore too. Well, we have In-N-Out. It's like, well, you have In-N-Out, but we have everything else, I guess.
That is spot on. I feel like there's like a little rivalry because we used to be with New York, like the best pizza and everything. And now I think Kevin just started a new one with tacos in L.A.
Yeah, unintentionally.
I think this is a ridiculous war that you're going to lose, but I got to tell you.
You might be right.
Well, you know.
The assumption of saying that L.A. has not as good as Mexican food. We are Mexico. Do you realize we're living?
That's a good point. That's a really good point. We're talking to Andrew Santino. He has his new special coming out, which was actually filmed here at the Vic Theater. You know, we were talking a little bit about the differences of L.A. and Chicago. What made you want to come back? What's the audience like as far as, you know, an audience in Chicago as compared to an L.A. audience?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to film my hour special back home. My first special, you know, I did a half hour with Comedy Central that we did in Boston, but that wasn't my choice. That was the network's choice. And when Showtime approached me about doing my special, I said the only place I wanted to do it was in Chicago. I knew I was going to do it back home, and we didn't know where we were going to do it. But You know, the Vic Theater kind of came about pretty naturally, and I had spent time there as a kid going to concerts there all the time. So it was kind of like a crazy, you know, beautiful come around to be able to perform at this place that I used to like go see my favorite bands at.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's why I called it Home Field Advantage, because, you know, it's like it was my homecoming. It was an amazing year last year. I took my father to the World Series. You know, it was kind of a great homecoming moment for me. And the crowds were incredible. We sold out a couple of shows, and people were so excited to be a part of it because the energy was great. And you know, it's we shot it in the summer, so everyone's happy in Chicago. So it was kind of like everything was feeding off of each other momentum-wise. There was a lot of good vibes going on in the city, and I think what I put down, I'm happy about, and I hope people like it when they see it. And I'm working on a ton of new stuff now, so then hopefully by next year there'll be a whole nother special.
Yeah, and hopefully you can sync that one up with like maybe a Hawks championship next year or something like that.
Oh, dude, well, they got to fix a bunch of stuff.
Oh, no kidding.
That's another conversation.
Well, so you are a Cubs fan, you were just saying, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm a diehard Cubs fan.
So I guess, you know, can you compare that moment to the Cubs, you know, winning the World Series? Can you compare that to anything in your life, you know, that can kind of, I don't know, make that, you know, something someone can relate to, you know? You can't?
No, I mean, genuinely, it's a feeling that I can't describe. You think about, I mean, I know this is, hey, the people that don't like sports are so sick of hearing Cubs fans talk about it.
Right, right.
But you know what? I don't care. It's 108 years. I really don't care.
Right.
But I think, you think about like when you were a kid growing up and going, get, you know, having your dad or your grandfather or whomever take you to games. And you think about the family time that you've spent being a fan of this lovable loser team and how we've never gotten our comeuppance. And it's kind of like, it was just this moment of like freedom that it was like the biggest breath of fresh air. I flew in and took my dad to game 4, which we lost, but that was the turning point. So me and my dad like to say that we're the ones that turned it around. After that, we didn't lose. So I think it was us that did that. But we just going to one of the games it felt unreal. Even though we were losing, people were still so excited because it was just such a momentous thing that you're like, this is an incredible event that we're all a part of for history. You know what I mean? You know, so I can't describe it other than what I'm telling you now, that the feeling of when they won, it was, I had to be alone. You know, people wanted to meet up, and I was like, no, I'm going to watch it in my house by myself because, if I do something insane, like break a bunch of stuff, I don't want anybody to see me have a mental breakdown, you know?
Right.
I want to be alone for that.
So stressful, too. It was the most unreal moment in Chicago history, to be honest. Again, we're speaking to Andrew Santino. He has Home Field Advantage coming out, filmed at the Vic Theater here in Chicago. He's going to be coming to Chicago July 13th through 16th at the Chicago Improv in our good old town of Schaumburg. One quick note, you know, you were just in a movie that was absolutely fantastic. It premiered at South by Southwest, the masterpiece, and this is made by James Franco. How was that experience?
That was amazing, dude. That was so much fun. It was James Franco and his brother, as well as Seth Rogen.
Mm-hmm.
A million guest stars. I mean, they got so many people to be a part of the movie. It was incredible. Zac Efron and Josh Hutcherson. It was like they just pulled out all these friends, favors that they knew to come be a part of this crazy, fun, wild improv comedy. And it was incredible. And I heard it turned out amazing. I wasn't around for the premiere because I'm Dying Up Here premiered a week before, and
that's
I was
right
on the road. So I missed the premiere, but I heard people loved it. And it was so fun. I mean, Franco's amazing. He really transforms into this character. And if you've ever seen the original movie, it's called The Room.
Mm-hmm.
I highly suggest you look it up.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about now.
It's the best worst movie of all time.
Yes,
yeah. This new film is phenomenal. Like we should really go check it out. Maybe we could have a Sound Sessions outing or something like that. Andrew,
well, I'm excited. I'm excited for people to watch that too.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for your time today. You know, being a Chicago boy yourself, we thought we'd end up with a little bit of some rapid fire questions. So I wondered if you wanted to join us for a Sound Sessions Chicago questions.
Let's do it.
All right, let's make it happen. Here we go. I want to know your favorite Chicago celebrity.
Harry Carey.
Nice.
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 Favorite Chicago pizza joint.
I'm a Illuminati's guy, man. I got to tell you, I know people are going to be boo-booing that, but I love Lou's. I grew up with it. I loved it. It's still my favorite. My mom freezes and ships it to me for my birthday every year.
It's good stuff, man. That's it really is.
They're a big WGN sponsor. Team maybe gets you out a pizza or something like that sometime soon.
Send me some pizza. Also, can I change my other celebrity? Because Harry Carey was my favorite when I was a kid who's now passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's someone who's still alive, I think I'm gonna have to go with John Paxson. Johnny Paxson. Johnny P is my guy.
Wow, I thought you were gonna go Bill Murray or something. But that's good.
No. That'd be too obvious to go with like a right. comedian that everybody loves. I go with someone low key, you know, that no one talks about. Either that or George Wendt, you know?
Wendt doesn't get a lot of love these days.
Not enough.
All right, favorite Chicago band.
Oh my god. My favorite Chicago band is probably that's really hard, man. That's a really specifically broad question. It's perfect and too big for me.
Yeah, we got like, Chicago.
What's my favorite Chicago? I was probably supposed to say my uncle's band. That's what I probably should say.
Yeah, that works.
Band in Chicago.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, they're called The Difference. They're fantastic. I love them. They're amazing. They're a great band. I can't pick one favorite Chicago band. That's too hard for me.
It's very objective and subjective at the same time. All right, so let's go. Favorite Chicago.
Well, what you guys? You guys tell me. What's your favorite band?
Favorite Chicago band?
Yeah, Wilco. I mean, I guess maybe Wilco.
Wilco's
that's
good.
A good one.
My favorite.
Smashing Pumpkins. There's so many.
You have Fall Out Boy. You have all those other classics. Chicago. The band itself.
Chicago, right?
Cheap
the
Trick.
Band Chicago, though, you can't name the band that's from the city. I feel like it's like a cop out.
Right.
know?
They do so many of those. Or if you name a band after a state, like Alabama or something like that.
Right.
Yes, it's
maybe how about Earth, Wind, and Fire? Maybe I'll say Earth, Wind, and Fire is my favorite band from Chicago.
I love it. I love it. All right. Favorite place? I think you answered this already, but your favorite place to perform or to see comedy?
That's tough. In Chicago?
Yeah.
I think suggestion wise if I'm telling someone who's going to Chicago, I would tell them to go to Zany's in Old Town because you get that feeling of just Old Town is such a beautiful, cool, unique piece of Chicago, and that club's been there for so long. I would say I would always tell someone to go there, but there's so much now, Comedy Bar and Up, and there's a million clubs, but you should probably just go see him at the Schaumburg Improv.
Yes,
yeah, perfect.
That's where people should go. Come see me at the Schaumburg Improv in July. That's the best place to see comedy because that's where I'm going to be.
And you can pick up tickets from your website then?
Yeah, they're on my website. You can go to andrewsantino.com. You can also go to the Schaumburg Improv website. And the tickets are, I think, they're already up and available.
Fantastic. Well, that was Andrew Santino. Andrew, we can't thank you enough, man. You are doing so many big things, and being from Chicago, we couldn't be more proud of you. We'd love to have you come back to WGN when you get back in town.
Listen, man, I would love to come back when I'm in town. I'd love to come hang with you guys when I'm come doing the club, and maybe we can get me on Bozo Buckets or something like that.
How cool would that be? Absolutely.
Well, that was Andrew.
I love it.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us here on Sound Sessions. Go and see his new special coming out June 2nd on Showtime. Check out I'm Dying Up Here, The Masterpiece. Man, you're doing everything. Well, thanks again for joining us here on WGN.
Thank you guys very much.
Absolutely. Well, we have to take a quick break here. We kind of went a little long. Whoops. Mm-hmm. But we have plenty more in store. This is Sound Sessions here on WGN. Good choice, Joey. I dig this. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I'm Kevin Richter.
What's up? This is Michael Heidemann.
Joined by my buddy Michael Heidemann here.
Of course.
And before we got into the news, we kind of set this up a little bit. We want to set it up a little more. You can reach us. You can call and text at 312-981-7200. We want to hear your celebrity run-in stories. Did you see somebody at the airport or maybe a concert or whatever? So we want to hear good or bad, whether it's B-list, A-list, whatever, musician, comedian, doesn't matter. We want to hear your celebrity run-in stories. And we're already getting some texts from Christine in Bucktown. I want to get to these because I almost want her to call in even if Christine, if you can call in, I want to hear these because
please do.
I have questions. But so, yeah, to get into it, Mike, I feel like you had a story to kind of set this up.
I did. And, you know, I've had more than my fair shares of celebrity run-ins, and I'm not anything special. I'm just a normal guy. You know, I'm from Chicago. But the cool thing about Chicago is that it allows me to meet a lot of interesting people, whether I'm going to a show, whether I'm standing in line and there's somebody famous in front of me getting a right. hamburger or something like that. Now, when I was growing up, my dad and I, we watched a lot of comedy videos, and, sure. and one of our favorite celebrities of all time was Steve Martin. I mean, he's undeniable. He's a legend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a big thing that my brother and I wanted to do, my brother Adam and I, we wanted to create this really cool birthday present. So we got him these tickets to go to see the Steep Canyon Rangers.
That's
Chicago.
His banjo band.
Yeah. And, you know, he's like transitioned into folk. They won a few Grammys, so it was like a big deal. And I knew it was going to sell out, and my dad couldn't make it. So my brother and I, we wanted to go to the show, and we were the most stoked people in the entire world. So, and here I am, like, trying to figure out a way to, you know, really make it special for my dad. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Kinko's and print out photos of Steve Martin. I'm going to put them on, like, cardstock, and I'm going to get him to sign these photos,
right.
which seemed very cool. And there was a good black and white one with him playing the banjo. I'm like, if I can just get him to sign this, my dad would be floored. And in my head, I know Steve Martin as the funny guy, two wild and crazy guys.
Of course.
He's going to be the best,
super
most
nice.
Kindest guy. You know, what they say, never meet your heroes. This is a story about how you should never meet your heroes.
I don't
want to
hear that about Steve Martin.
I know. I don't want to, and maybe he was in a bad mood. Let me preface it by saying, you know,
right.
he could have been in a bad mood, and, you know, he was on tour, and I was just some random guy. So we have somebody come in, and we figured out where he was going to be. So we waited outside his bus for hours. Like, for at least 2 hours. And I'm sitting there, you know.
Okay, so there's a bit of a stalkery element to it.
Yeah, okay, that's true. And it was Adam and I and then one other autograph seeker. And I had these pictures of Steve Martin all ready to go. And I was like, here we go. This is the moment. The door opens up. And I spent all day working on these photos. And I go, Mr. Martin! And I see him. This gorgeous, luscious, like, white hair slicked back. He takes slow steps off. He turns to us with his nice fancy glasses. I go, Mr. Martin, I have some photos. We're huge fans. I've been listening to you since I was a kid. Could you sign these, please? And it was just us. He looks at me with his eyes, and I'm like, here it comes. He goes, nah, I know you're just going to be selling those on eBay, and walks right past us.
Oh, no.
So I was like, oh. Heartbroken, crushed. Then, being the guy that I am, I'm very persistent. So we went to the show, and the entire time I was sitting, it was before the concert too, so we sat through a 2-hour concert, and the entire time I wasn't thinking, this is great music. I was thinking, I got to get him to sign these photos. He's not going to just deny me the chance to sign these photos. So we went back, and we sit in the line. Now everyone is gathered up, waiting for him to come out. And I have these photos ready to go. I'm like, there's no way. If I need to, like, jump on that bus myself and him carry me across the country on the back bumper, I'm going to do it. So I see him, and then we give him this. He comes out after another hour of waiting, same photos right into his face. I go, Mr. Martin, please, this is for my dad. I'd love for you to sign these. He goes, you're just going to sell them on eBay.
Again?
Again with the eBay line. And
jeez.
So I go, no, I'm not. My name is Mike. Just sign them, please. My dad's name is Mike. We used to watch you when you were Turtle Boy. And I kept saying, and Adam kept going, come on, Turtle Boy, let's see it. Come on,
I'm sure
him.
He loved that.
So then he signs them really, really quick. And then he just hands me them real quick in a nice, like, quick pen motion.
From Turtle Boy.
Yes. From Turtle Boy, loves Steve Martin. And I was so emphatic about just getting these done. But the thing was, now every time I think of Steve Martin, how much I used to love him and listen to his books and listen to his comedy tapes, I always think, you're just going to sell it on eBay. So that was mine.
Well, but maybe he's a crotchety old guy. Who knows? It's okay.
He's also been famous since he was like 20 years old.
Right,
if you're
right.
famous your entire life. Okay, so we need to cleanse that palate.
So Michael has set the bar. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back. And Christine, I see you have called in. I appreciate that. We're going to get to you after the break here with all these celebrity stories, good or bad. I really want to hear these. So, yeah, you're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I was just telling you, Michael, that's the best read I've ever done in my life.
You did a really good job.
I'm proud of that. Can I get an MP3 of that? Anyway, so we're talking about celebrity run-ins, good or bad. Michael just shared a story about running into Steve Martin.
Heartbroken.
And it didn't go so well.
No, it didn't.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but I know that there was a lot of people who did have really good experiences with celebrities. The text line is on fire. We love to hear these stories. We're going to read as many as we can. Keep them coming.
Well, speaking of the text line, before we even got to this segment, we kind of teased it. And Christine in Bucktown sent us a slew of texts. Mm-hmm. One of them says, and this I'm so interested by this, once handed TP, toilet paper, to Joan Rivers. And we actually have Christine on the line here. Christine, how did this happen?
Let's see. I was at a grand tasting in a hotel, so a little wine tasting in a hotel in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
That still had a performance room. They had something called the red carpet room with banquettes and a stage, and people would come and perform. And I was overserved.
Okay.
And I went.
I like where this is going.
I went to the ladies' lounge, and if you can imagine, again, a place that's got the red carpet room has a ladies' lounge. And so you walk in, and there are divans and chairs for women to sit on and a place to do your makeup. And then you have to go through another door to get to the stalls and the sinks.
Very fancy.
So mm-hmm. I went in to take care of my business, and I was in the stall. And all of a sudden, from under the stall, right,
the partition
on the
door
other
there.
Side,
yeah.
The partition mm-hmm. door, comes this claw. It was jeweled.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Multiple rings and long fingernails. And mind you, this is the Dallas is still like that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Come, honey, hand me some TP. Just like that. I swear to God. And so you spare a square. You help a lady in need.
Right.
Handed the TP to the claw. I was finished my business. I washed my hands, and I was sitting on one of the divans in the outer room, trying to wear off my wine tasting, mm-hmm. and out of the stalls area walks Joan Rivers.
Wow.
And there wasn't anybody else that it could have been.
That's so funny.
That voice is it's so recognizable too.
Exactly.
Honey.
Exactly. Honey. So, yeah, honey, hand me some pee pee.
So I see you also spilt beer on Bruce Hornsby's shoes. How did he handle that?
You know what? He was very gracious, and he bought me more beer.
That's cool of him.
What a good guy.
Right.
Did you buy him new shoes?
I was at Old Comiskey, mm-hmm. and the game was about to start, and I happened to be at the time a Texas Rangers fan, and I was in kind of a rush. And I turned around. I had dogs and beers from the concession stand. And I turned around, and the guy standing behind me was honestly standing too close. And I you know, you swivel, right?
Yeah.
And it was kind of tight quarters, and there goes the beer. And I looked up, and it was Bruce Hornsby.
Wow.
And just about that time they were playing That's Just the Way It Is on the thing.
Oh.
He had been in town for a concert. I happen to know this because at the time I worked for the music magazine for Tower Records. And he had performed with Bonnie Raitt like the night before or something like that.
Yeah, how cool.
And I looked up and I said, "Nice tunes. I'm sorry about your shoes."
Whoops.
And he was wearing Converse, you know, high tops.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay. I was picturing dress shoes.
Yeah.
But I guess you can get
no,
me.
He was at the ball game.
Are you kidding me? We were at the Turtle Comiskey. Ew.
Well, Christine, these are great stories. Thank you for sharing these.
You're very, very welcome. And I don't know whether you guys remember something like this. Letterman used to do a thing, and he called it Brush with Greatness.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gig kind of, or a bit kind of like this.
Okay.
So celebrity run-in stuff?
Celebrity run-ins, yes. He called them Brushes with Greatness.
I love that. Christine, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for listening to Sound Sessions tonight.
You guys have a good night. Bye.
You too.
You're the best, Christine. All right, so get your calls in, 312-981-7200. I think we have a few texts.
Yeah, well, I wanted to get to one here from the 815. And they sent a photo along with this, which is pretty nice. Went to see Steve Cochran, our own Steve Cochran's mm-hmm. comedy show, and ran into Dennis D. Young, formerly of Styx, who was doing the same thing. So he was there for... But I think they're buddies, Steve and Dennis.
Yeah. No, this is a great photo, too. Lots of artwork in the background. Oh, yeah. See, WGN people are always kind. If you want to approach any of our hosts, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to.
Yeah, well, we're kind of lucky, too, in the sense that, you know, being producers, we're constantly booking individuals that are coming in with things to promote, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I've been lucky enough for when I was producing Dean, mm-hmm. he had Michael Cera on in studio one day.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know what to expect. So I get, you know, the security buzzes and lets us know that the guest is here, so I go to the door, and I'm shaking all the hands, and then here comes Michael Cera, and I say, hey, nice to meet you, I'm Kevin. He goes, oh, yeah, nice to meet you, I'm Michael. Like, it was really cool, genuine, regular guy, but in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I know who you are, obviously.
Isn't that bizarre when they approach you, and they just say their name? It's like, of course I know who you are. You're this person. You're a legend.
Right. Well, and I'm actually pretty lucky in the sense that I haven't had any negative run-ins. Mm-hmm. I was a little nervous. So Bill and Wendy had Moby on about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I was a little nervous about him because, I think I was... Through his handler, like his press person, I got the vibe that he was not into like shaking hands or like being social or anything like that.
Yeah, I think he has like a kind of a persona of like a very particular and kind of a tumultuous guy with the press.
Yeah,
so I could see where you would be thinking about
that. So I bring him in and I didn't shake his hand and it mm-hmm. was kind of awkward. Mm-hmm. And then I come in and I tell Bill and Wendy like, okay, so maybe don't try to shake his hand because that might be a weird thing. And So he comes in and then immediately just goes for the handshake with Bill and Wendy. I'm like, oh, okay, so that's out the window. So he's a totally regular, normal guy. So yeah, he was fine.
I think even Howie Mandel shakes people's hands now. I think it's everyone's getting over.
Or who? Mark Summers too. He's supposed to be a big germaphobe, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he not shake hands either?
No, he was here with Bill and Wendy. I had my arm around him. Totally regular, normal guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. See, that's awesome that you got that kind of experience like with Michael Cera. He's a good guy. I'm trying to see here real quick. From the 412, we have Ask Nick D for an autograph. He is real and will give you one. Our own legendary
Walk of Famer himself.
Walk of Famer himself.
So yeah, he's a great guy. How about last year at Lollapalooza, Stephen Jenkins? So
yes.
So Stephen Jenkins, the singer of Third Eye Blind, who always
your favorite band,
who seems to always somehow get a mention on this show for
it's
whatever
a constant
reason.
Thread.
I don't know why, but yeah. So he was doing his press rounds, right? And we were trying to just get a picture with him real quick because I mean, full disclosure, I love that band. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Laugh at me. It's okay.
they're pretty good.
They're a great band.
They put on a good show.
But he's you know, we're in the press area and he's doing his rounds and he's getting his interviews. And just for a quick second, we're like, oh, can we get a quick photo? And he went to go do it. And then his press lady said, no, sorry, mm-hmm. we gotta go. You have this commitment over here. I'm like, okay, whatever, bummer. And then, maybe 10, 15 minutes later, he actually comes up to us. He's like, hey, I'm free now. Let's get that photo real quick. Like, how cool is that?
What a genuine guy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's down to earth. And the thing is, when you are a celebrity, that kind of stuff really means a lot to your fans. So if anybody is a celebrity out there listening, we take, you know, that it's a big moment for us because for them, they get a million of them. But for us, we just get that one. And I actually heard that we have our good friend Roger Badish up in the newsroom who has a story that he'd want to share.
Well, you know, being just like you guys as producers, you brush elbows with the famous. I've been doing news for since 1970. I've been brushing elbows, but I've had some big ones that at least I consider they were big. First of all, when I was still in college, I was able to spend some time with Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreau in the booth.
How cool.
At Wrigley Field. I was like, there's stuff I missed because I was in seventh heaven, mm-hmm. like stuff I didn't observe. When I worked 3.5 years out in Las Vegas, Cary Grant, movie star.
Wow.
Jerry Lewis, like one of my idols, but not as much of an idol as he is to Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Holmes, heavyweight champ.
Jeez.
Very cool.
Ted Turner owns all the cable network channels.
The billionaire.
Oh, Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And then, of course, when I was working here, I had the... had the pleasure and the honor of talking to Ron Santo for a while.
How nice. Yeah. And you had nothing but positive experiences with all these individuals?
All positive, even though Cary Grant, he was so nice. I bumped into him actually in a doorway at the Sands Hotel. They were dedicating an expansion. And I had already heard that he doesn't give interviews, but I tried anyway as a reporter at the time. And I said, Mr. Grant, could I get an interview? And he very politely, very nicely smiled and said, I'm sorry, I don't do any interviews. And I said, thank you very much. And we went our separate ways.
Oh, see? Well, at least he was being genuine. I mean, you could take that for what it was.
Very gracious.
Man.
Yeah. Well, through... So it was fun. It's been a great career and meeting all these great people and then working with fantastic people like you.
Oh, come on.
Roger, you are one of the greatest people that I've met. So you're on my list and the good slot.
Yeah. So 312-981-7200, call and text with your celebrity stories. We do have to get to the news with the celebrity meet and greeter himself, Mr. Roger Babish.
Hey, welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. This is Michael Heidemann.
And I am Kevin Richter.
And we were just talking about the best celebrity run-ins, whether they be good, bad, if you were in line and somebody was getting a hamburger before you and then you look around and it's Arsenio Hall or something like that.
You know, that's a very specific example. Did that happen to you?
I wish I knew what he would get from on his hamburger. But we've been taking calls and texts. Make sure you get your calls in, 312-981-7200 if you want to share your best celebrity run-in story. I told one about my run-in with Steve Martin. Kevin had one with the leasing of Third Eye Blind. We had Christine who had a good one with Joan Rivers. And we have another great one real quick. We have some texts actually coming through.
Yeah, well, from the 708 mentioned that they met Jimmy Stewart at a Marshall Fields and said that he was a true gentleman.
Now, that's like a legendary guy right there.
Yeah, very cool.
Marshall Fields, wow.
At 630, from the 630, met Jeremy Roenick at a celebrity golf tourney when I was 12. Asked for an autograph, and he was so gracious and talked hockey with me for over 20 minutes. Great person and athlete. And him being like, he's a kind of a present personality here on the station as well.
Yeah.
I know he comes out with Pete McMurray quite a bit.
JR the Superstar.
Very, very cool, genuine guy. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. And we have our producer. Joey, do you have any celebrity run-ins?
I'd have to think about that. I would go with... At least, like you guys have mentioned, and Roger has, like at the station at least, just coming into the industry and you see, oh, wait a minute, like you're surrounded by celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
The first one at least here was Carrie Wood, and as a longtime Cub fan, it was like one of my first days here and just walking the halls, and then Carrie Wood just comes by, and or I'll call him up on the phone for a show, and it's just like it's a very surreal moment of, you know, you watch this guy play for so long, and now he's actually a human being, but he's just interacting with you in a hallway. Or the same with... You know, I went to U of I, so we covered football and Lovie Smith.
That's cool, yeah.
And so, you know, you watch him on the sidelines from a distance as this big-time coach takes the Bears to the Super Bowl, and then you're standing next to him asking him a question, which was just pretty surreal moments.
For sure.
Music-wise, it was one with my family, actually. We were at the Who concert at the United Center like maybe 10 years ago already.
Yeah.
And my dad had interacted with Pete Townsend once through business and different things, and so we were able to meet him after the show with our group of family and friends, and he came up to my family, and my dad like shook his hand and knew him by name, and it was a whole to-do, and everyone was just floored because it's the god of Pete Townsend.
Mid-windmill,
and it's like, oh, like, good to see you. So it was a pretty cool moment by a superstar, for sure.
Man.
You actually just jogged my memory talking in the hallway. I remember when I was like an intern still, and I was helping Duffy with some production, and as I'm walking out of his office, Coach Q is walking in, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's Coach Q. So I give him the how you doing nod, and he gave me like a shifty eye and then gave it back to me, and that was the extent of it, but I was like, yes, so cool.
Sometimes that's all you need. That's all
right,
you need.
Right,
you know, we have a guest here in our studio tonight, little Jay Doherty, who is my cousin and a really, really good guy. He wants to become a broadcaster one day, and I know that you had a really great celebrity run-in yourself, my friend. Who'd you run into?
Yeah, I actually ran into Donald Trump back in 2015. It was very brief. It was in July of 2015, and it was very brief. He said, hi, how are you? I said, I'm good, and asked him the same question. We got a quick picture, and we saw there was a lot of press and media there, and they were all taking pictures of him, and I was right in it, and there was so much flashing. It was really, like, cool, and I did not expect it. And the picture, it was like, it seemed like it was going in slow motion, but it was so cool. It was such a great experience, even though it went by in, like, less than 30 seconds.
That's awesome. And then now he's the president. Look at that.
Yeah, and back in 2015, no one thought he would even be the president, especially with people in Chicago acting, being liberal and everything.
So very, very, very true. So that was your time to ask if you could be VP.
Yeah.
You should have taken him up on that.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I think we have a caller real quick.
Let's
thanks
go to Jim.
Story,
Jim calling in. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing real good. My little experience was at O'Hare Airport. I got in off of a flight, and this was kind of before they had the cell phones going. And I went up to the row of pay phones, and I start talking on the phone for somebody to come and pick me up, and people are walking by, and they're looking at me, and I'm thinking, what are they looking at? And I check my zipper, okay, everything's all right. And I'm,
got your bases covered.
People are really looking and staring, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I hang the phone up, and I turn around, and on the phone right next to me was Danny DeVito.
Man. But you probably couldn't see him. He's
I was going to say,
he's kind of shorty.
Below the line of sight there, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I thought, man, it was Danny DeVito they were looking at.
That's
but
crazy.
I didn't go any further with it. I just, went on my way.
That's awesome. Great story, Jim.
Yeah, okay, thanks. You guys got a good show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening.
Jim, you're a good man. And man, Danny DeVito, I love that guy, too.
Did I ever tell you about the time I hung up on Duncan Keith?
No.
Yeah, accidentally.
The Duncan Keith.
The, Blackhawks defenseman, probably future Hall of Famer. Yeah, he called in for, a sports show here, and I was doing the studio side producing. And he's, hey, this is Duncan Keith. They go, oh, cool. Let me put you on hold. And instead of the hold button, I hit the drop button.
Oh, no.
And then, my life flashed before my eyes. Oh, my God, I just hung up on Duncan Keith. I'm going to be fired. There's no way. And then he called back. He's like, yeah, he's kind of got, that Canadian good old country boy thing about him. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I think you accidentally hung up on me or something. Yeah, sorry about that. But it was fine. But.
And then he just hung up on him one more time, just for good measure. That's so funny because, Kevin and I are producers here at the station. We both do shows. Kevin's during the day and I'm during the nighttime. And we get a lot of callers in from celebrities. And there isn't a lot of time when they have the real number up there. It's always unknown or private line or unavailable. And I remember the first time that I spoke to Andrew WK, who is a great, great musician.
Yeah.
Kevin and I, it's kind of a staple.
He's a legend.
On the Sound Session show, and I hung up on him, and it was an unknown number. And if you want to feel your heart drop,
right?
It's like, how am I going to get this unknown number back? Because you have no idea. I was punching in fake numbers, just trying everything that I could do.
And, in what world would that make sense for you? All right, I'm just going to pick however many random numbers and hope it's Andrew WK.
Granted, it didn't work. He called back, and it went very well. But as a producer, you do see all these people come and roll through, and it's really interesting to go through that celebrity experience. It's a very cool feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could go on and on. There's Peanut Tillman was just here the other day, and he's just a super nice guy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I saw Johnny Taves do the coolest thing in the world for a kid. I was at one of the conventions once trying to get audio from him. And then he stops interacting with me, and then there was a little kid there, just trying to meet him, and he just gets down on one knee and starts talking to the kid. It was super friendly with him. It was very, very cool.
Oh, see, that's so nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I had one more that I remember, just speaking about that. When I was very young, my dad and I went to this business trip, and I think it was in a southern state or in Puerto Rico or something like that, and we had a big dinner, and the lead speaker there was this guy named Jim Boughton, who used to be a very famous pitcher back in the day.
Okay.
He created the curve the knuckleball, and I remember he gave it. But the more exciting thing about him is he also invented Big League Chew gum.
What?
Yeah, alongside of...
I'm more excited about that.
Another guy. So he was handing out Big League Chew gum, and I remember we waited in line, and he saw me in the back, and he goes, he motioned for me to come up to him. He called me over, and he goes, hey, I saw you in line. What do you want to know? And I go, I would love to learn how to throw the knuckleball. And he sat there with all these people waiting for his autograph and just showed me how to throw this
pitch. How cool.
And I was
very
like,
cool.
Yeah, that, that short amount of time meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Because that was when I was 14 years old, and I'm still talking about it today.
And you finish it off with, make sure you buy a Big League Chew.
The best scum there is. From the 630, we just got a text in. He or she unknowingly stood next to Arlo Guthrie backstage at a festival watching one of his opening acts. That's huge, too.
Yeah.
You're sitting right next to this
very
music
cool.
legend. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, let's wrap this up. We're almost out of time on the show. It's gone by so fast.
Already? Oh,
so
man.
Let's hit a break and then come back with, the vault that we like to do. Toss around some music stories that are happening and trending right now. What do you think?
That sounds great. I missed the vault.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. It's coming back right now.
Let's open it back up.
Because you're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. We're just winding down to the end of the show here. You're listening to Kevin and Michael, two radio producers here who are taking over for Brian Noonan tonight. You can listen to our all-music podcast on WGNRadio.com anytime you want. You can search us on iTunes.com/SoundSessions. Search Sound Sessions on Facebook, Sound Sesh Pod on Twitter, Sound Sessions WGN on Instagram. And you can always write a great old email, SoundSessionsPod@gmail.com. We answer every single question we're asked. Kevin, we used to do this great thing where we'd kind of rifle through all the top music stories of the day.
Yeah.
And I think since we were winding down to the end of the show, I think we should open up the vault. So let's open up that music vault. All aboard! It's back. The music vault.
I can't not smile at this. It's hilarious to me.
The best part is it's just going through the news stories, but we need to...
You gotta spice it up.
You know? Ignite it like a
spice
like
is the flavor of life or something like that, right? I don't
exactly.
know. That's an expression people use.
All right, so story number one. We've got our buddy Chris Cornell, who passed away over the last few weeks. It's very, very sad.
Yeah.
Fantastic singer, kind of a voice of a generation, and we had our own Chicago's maiden brother, Eddie Vedder, who played his first show since Cornell's death and devoted some songs to him. Did you hear about this, Kev?
Yeah, and I'm also reading, too, he was quoted. So it looks like they had a very strict policy about recording the concert, no video or anything like that. So there's not any direct quotes, unfortunately, but it does look like he said something along the lines of, I'm thinking of a lot of people tonight, and some in particular and their families, and I just know that healing takes time. If it ever happens, it takes time, and that means you have to start somewhere. So let it be music, let it be love and togetherness, and let it be Amsterdam. So he must have been in Amsterdam, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I think they were buddies, you know, came up in the same grunge scene in Seattle.
It's a bummer, because I remember last year, 2016, we got hit with a lot of music losses in a very short amount of time, which kind of affected a lot of music that was being written and a lot of the performances that went on. And moving on to our next story, Greg Allman, the influential force behind the Allman Brothers.
Legendary, incredibly talented musician.
Died at 69.
Too young.
Too young. But, you know, I was talking to Joey about this, our producer, a little bit earlier in the show. And the fact that, you know, you're doing what you love, you're a great musician, and you get to, like, party and play with your friends your entire life. That's a good life.
It's a cool, full life, for sure. I mean, it doesn't change the fact that, it's incredibly sad. But, you know, his legacy will live on for generations because he was such an influential, talented, you know, amazing musician. So, you know... I'm looking at it like, here's a photo of him playing with Cher, which I never even knew happened. It's just, it's incredible, man. This guy's career was just incredible.
It was fantastic. Now to move on to the weird and wacky, we got our old friend Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 making some news.
Oh, what's he doing now?
Well, the Tom DeLonge WikiLeaks conspiracy goes deeper than we thought. It looks like now he's using, he's an internal cog in this machine that it just keeps converting things. And I don't know if you heard about this, but he actually is kind of the voice of the UFO kind of unexplained.
I don't get him, and I don't get this, and it's all just so bizarre and weird to me.
The most that I thought it went, they have a song called Aliens Exist, Blink-182 does, on one of their albums. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, but I can roll with it. But now the fact that he's not only left the band... To create this thing, he's going deeper down the wormhole, and I don't know if we're going to be seeing any music from him anytime soon.
You know what? Yes. Maybe this is controversial, but okay. Blink-182 is better off without him. Shots fired.
Mic drop right there. Jeez.
Just saying, you know.
Man, well, fantastic. Okay, let's move on to the next story.
Yeah. How about this? In August. I hope this isn't too old. Bill Murray to release debut album New Worlds.
No way.
Bill Murray, yeah.
Bill Murray himself.
The man who once sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the style of Daffy Duck is gearing up to release an album of classical music entitled New Worlds. His debut full length will surface this August, according to the New York Times. Classical music out of Bill Murray.
Well, look at that.
You know, when you have a life like his, you can just, like, pick up pursuits like this, right? He just does whatever he wants. He's just floating through life, enjoying everything, you know?
Yeah, because he can do anything. I don't even think he has a phone. That's kind of the mysterious lure about him.
Who was I? Somebody that was on a guest on the station was just talking about how if you want to book him, he's got, like, a hotline.
Hotline.
It's like an 800 number that you can call. And anybody can call it, and then he will, like, even if, like, you're a top agent, you know, or, like, I'm sure somebody has to have a direct number on him, but
yeah.
Even if you're, like, pitching a, you know, a $1 million movie deal, you have to call his hotline, apparently.
Wow, he just has one number. And then, like, what, does he go through the voicemails and everything?
Okay,
like that?
So I got this from Joey.
Oh, geez.
Instead of having an agent, he has a 1-800 number.
No agent.
No agent, just a 1-800 number. That's brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you not love this guy? He's just so hilariously awesome.
The only stories I hear about Bill Murray nowadays is like somebody sitting at a restaurant and he takes a bite out of their hot dog and goes, "No one will believe you."
Or there was the story too where he was he just like showed up at a bar and decided to start bartending, and they let him back, and no matter what anyone ordered, whether it was a water or a soda or a beer or whatever, he was handing out shots of tequila. Shots of tequila, nothing else.
He should be at the Tequila and Taco Fest.
Oh my God, what a dream.
Soon.
What a dream that would be.
Oh man, I could talk about Bill Murray for the next day. Moving on, we got, you know, the band The Killers, Kevin?
Yes.
Famous for great songs like Neon Tiger,
Smile Like You Mean It.
Smile Like You Mean It.
How many? I mean, they countless great songs.
Fantastic band. Brandon Flowers is a great crooner singer. This is the most bizarre thing ever. Like, you follow the music charts and you see, you know, what's the top hits and everything like that, and they're constantly changing. Well, I got news. A song 13 years ago, Mr. Brightside, has been on the charts ever since it debuted and hasn't left it once.
What?
13 years on the charts, Mr. Brightside has been there.
13 years. How does that last that long?
It's.
I mean, don't, after 13 years, don't you get sick of a song?
You would think so, right? Because it's bizarre. So this music article that came out from the LADBible.com went through the most played songs by the decade. And in the 2000s, The Killers' Mr. Brightside has over 26 million streams.
That's insane.
Followed by, in the 1990s, guess who was in the 1990s most streamed? You probably...
From the 1990s, mm-hmm, most streamed.
Who was a famous female singer back then?
Paula Abdul.
Close. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah,
17 million views. Streams.
I should have known that.
We got the 1980s with Wham, Last Christmas, 13 million. 1970s, Stevie Wonder with Superstition, 11 million. And it just goes on and on. But yeah, Mr. Brightside, the most streamed song of the 2000s and still on the charts. Good for them. I got to give it up.
Yeah, I mean, and that means they're getting paid. So good for them. That's what they want. So does that wrap up the vault?
I think that wraps up the vault.
And that about wraps up Sound Sessions in for Brian Noonan tonight. We have to take one more quick break, and we'll come back and sign off and say goodbyes. What do you think?
That sounds good, Kevin.
All right, you have been listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN. All right, you have been listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Again, you can find us iTunes.com/SoundSessions, Sound Sessions on Facebook, Sound Sesh Pod on Twitter, and so on and so on, soundsessionspod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Michael, thank you for hanging out. This was awesome.
Kevin, this was a great time.
Joey, great job as always. And to
everybody
our visitors.
Adam and Jay, thank you guys. Roger, you were fantastic. And we hope to hear from you guys again soon.
Yeah, coming up next is Rick Kogan, After Hours with Rick Kogan, the one and the only.